This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call him the Dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a beach.
Son of a beach.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
The good news is no one heard you talking with your mouth full. The bad news is no one heard you. You're a monkey. An absolute monkey.
I'm all in pieces. I'm all torn up here.
Why?
Got a lot of work to do. You know.
What?
What?
The museum's done. Paul and I do a tremendous job running this newspaper. Dan does a great job on the radio show.
Eric does a great job taking pictures.
Yeah, Fred. Eric making me uncomfortable. He's taking pictures of guys in the locker room. He's asking them to take their shirts off.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
You heard it.
It's
you heard it right.
It's awkward.
No.
People are pointing, laughing.
Is this the tattoo story?
I have formal artistic training.
Yes,
Was that this week's question?
This is the tattoo story, but... I'm the one who's doing the interview, so I've been going up. You know, I talk to you, and they're, And I ask them, do you mind if we took a couple photos? Everybody's fine with it. But so Eric comes over with his camera, and he's taking pictures. And you look around, and all the other media members are pointing at us, laughing. Somebody goes, hey, you guys doing a gay porn now? Like, everybody's just...
He was taking it to a whole new level.
Well, why was the camera pointed downwards, though? That's the question.
And the other question is, why was he just taking them of people I never talked to?
Well, you know,
random photos.
Private
collection.
But the other media members, screw them.
No, I know.
Screw them. You know, they have nothing to say to us.
One of them asked me that question. I almost fired back with no, because we didn't ask you to be in it, and you'd certainly be included, you homo.
Uh-oh.
It's two genders, friend.
Well, don't.
Twin brother, practically.
Dan Two Genders just opened up another. I didn't know there was meatball in there.
You're the one who always tells us to get meatball.
Papa Gino's makes a really good meatball.
No, they don't. We've certainly come across that fact.
Anyway, it is Wednesday here in Gillette Stadium, and the Patriots are getting ready to take on the Miami Dolphins Sunday, 1 o'clock. That's nice having a 1 o'clock game. In Miami.
Too bad it's not home.
Yeah, that would the only thing that would make it better. The temperature's going to be around about upper 60s, I think, for the game. Might be a little windy, they say. But should be fairly good weather, and I'm predicting a Patriots win.
I am too. I think we all are.
I think the Patriots are the more desperate team,
mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes when things are equally matched, that becomes a big factor. So,
and I'm not even sure they're equally matched. I think the Patriots probably top to bottom are still a better football team.
I'm not sure. I think Miami might have the edge in team defense at this point in the season.
Maybe. I like your desperation thing, though. The Patriots, we've been talking about that element for the last few weeks going against the Patriots, and pretty much every time it's worked out against them.
Oh, yeah. San Diego, Indianapolis, yeah.
Yep.
The Jets. But this one, I think, is in the Patriots' favor, and I agree with Andy. I think they're the better team on top of being more desperate right now.
Yep. I also think... there's a good chance the whole Wildcat thing, this is a week where not only do they shut it down, but post-game we get one of those Bill Belichick snide remark comments about the Wildcat. I think they've had their fill of the Wildcat.
Book it. Absolutely.
Okay.
You can
I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be some remark and you'll be like
if the Patriots have a good defensive effort in this game, absolutely count on something Wildcat related, unsolicited, coming from the head coach.
So what
he
happened?
He has had his fill of that.
What happened today
formation
in the press conference?
In terms of the Wildcat?
Yeah.
Not much.
There was only a couple.
One question early on about because of the uniqueness of the
terrible
formation,
question.
Do you have to devote maybe a whole day to it? And Bill,
you should have said, well, because of the uniqueness quickly. Formation, I have to devote whole press conferences to it.
That would have been a good line.
Yeah.
Spend more time talking about the Wildcat than playing it.
Right.
He said no because, and he used a good reasoning behind more than just the obvious that I think it would be dumb to devote a whole practice. But they use it intermittently, so they're in it, they're out of it. So as a defense, you need to be prepared to face it intermittently, in and out of it, as you would in practice.
I think everyone obviously with that Wildcat focuses on Ronnie Brown taking a direct snap and where Ricky Williams is. But I think the thing that screwed them up more than that was the unbalanced line.
I agree.
You know,
they had no idea. As Seymour said it after the game, they didn't know: are we sliding on this play? Are we not sliding?
And they slid, and it opened up the middle.
Right. They stunk against it. And that's as surprising as any of it, because that's just the pure. You can face an unbalanced with no Wildcat involved.
Right.
Teams run unbalanced, so they were not prepared for unbalanced in any way that day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know anything about defensive coordination and, you know, all that stuff, but it seems to me it's when you see that happen, it's complete read and react. You stay at home, wait till you know where the ball's going, then make your move.
Right.
That's giving up 3 yards is a lot better than giving up 30.
And it's not easy,
you know?
Because as Bill said, it's Ronnie Brown, it's Ricky Williams, and you have Ricky Williams running full speed on that speed sweep or whatever Bill calls it, and he may have the ball. I mean, so you're flat-footed, you're Mike Vrabel, you're on the end of the line, you have Ricky Williams running full speed at you, and you're trying to read, does he have the ball, does he not have the ball, while the inside guys are doing the same thing with, am I Gerard Mayo, do I have to pursue Ricky Williams, who's running full speed right to left in front of me,
right,
or am I going to get Ronnie Brown right at me? I mean, there's athleticism and there's just being a good football player involved.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the easiest thing in the world. It's a lot different than if, I mean, no offense, but if Kevin Falk and Heath Evans run it, it's not as good.
It's not as good.
Because they're not as good. They're not as fast. They're not as athletic.
And there is an element, I think, Andy, when you talked about the speed sweep that Bill mentioned, there is an element of uniqueness there, because I think most wide plays in the NFL are one-cut plays. They start out going wide, and generally what they're looking for is an overcommitment by the defense, an over-pursuit, and they're looking for one cut, bang, you're in a crease. That play with Ricky Williams is meant to get wide around the end, like a high school play.
It has
almost
to be sealed off, right?
Yeah. They're looking to get to the sideline and get down the sideline faster than you can get there. And I don't think NFL defenses see that kind of a sweep all that often.
How'd you guys defend that in Everett? No? You didn't?
It's a little bit different, Fred.
Oh. You guys run a pro-style defense in Everett, right?
Why do you got to be like this?
Why are you so upset?
I'm not upset, but what do you
think?
What
is a pro-style defense?
Well, I don't know.
We have guys that could step right in.
In high school, usually, you, instead of dealing with like three-man fronts and four-man fronts, it's like six-man fronts.
Right. Everyone defends the run.
You know?
Right. 50, so. Cover two.
You put your speed guys on the outside. You clog up the middle with the big guys.
Goal line defense, the gap eight.
Sure.
This was the signal. Gap eight.
Gap eight. Hands out to the side.
Hands to the side.
Yeah. Okay. What's the matter, Andy? You got
my
headphones issues?
Are shocking me.
Oh, poor
really?
Baby.
Is that true? You're getting shocks?
My ear.
Because that would explain the little staticky things we were getting from your headphones.
Yeah, well, we're having issues.
That's interesting.
I wish we had somebody around who could fix it.
Steal Eric's.
That's what.
Okay. I don't have any headphones on, so I'll just assume that
steal
I heard
Eric's,
what you said.
Speaking of Eric, where is he?
He's working on the update and heading out to practice.
And taking pictures.
And taking pictures of men with their shirts off.
Yes. For no reason other than his own personal enjoyment.
Okay.
Maurice Price enjoyed it, though.
Did he?
He did. He's a nice man who – I almost did a bad, bad thing, too. He asked, when's this going to appear? And I said, I can bring you some copies. And I was this close to adding, if you're still here.
Why would you even think that?
Because what I was thinking was, he's a practice squad receiver who sleeps in his locker every day. It's 50-50 that he's here when that story was.
Yeah, but why would you why did you even think
he's
about
a bad
saying,
guy, yeah. Paul. He's just a bad guy.
I want to get it to him, and I'm thinking.
I didn't ask you why you would think that. I didn't ask you why you would think that. I asked you why you would even think about saying that to him.
I don't know, because I'm an idiot.
Okay. Now we've got to the bottom of that. We can move on.
But I'm not that much of an idiot, because I didn't say it. I caught myself.
I could definitely see thinking that. You know, any practice squad guy, the way that Bill uses the practice squad, those guys come and go. There's usually one or two, maybe three, that spend the whole year. And the other guys are kind of interchangeable parts.
It's kind of like I talked to Sean Crable, and he said, I think he said he has six. And he goes, you know, I have one on my back and one on my calf. And I was thinking, boy, that must be a really, really small one. I didn't say it, but I was thinking it.
Wow.
He's something else, Freddie.
Sean Crable?
No.
Oh. Andy? All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482.
The meatball is good.
And we'll be here.
They make a terrible meatball, but their meatball pizza is not bad.
It's very good. It doesn't over, you know, it's not that big of a taste where it overwhelms the pizza itself. It's a nice blend.
Okay. another question. When is that? We should warn our listeners or prepare them. Not only did we the PFW TV show yesterday at Neckin, we taped a segment for their sports late night. When is that going to air?
Friday night.
What
time is that going?
Oh, I guess it's 11.
So there's a chance.
Whenever sports late night is on Neckin, which I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah.
We'll be a part of that on Friday night as well.
And there's a chance I'll be going head to head with myself.
Well, now we'll explain this.
That's a lot of head.
It certainly is.
It's more head than a weekend at Eric's.
Oh,
well,
boy.
Andy and I...
See, that's the kind of stuff that we really need to clean up.
Well, if anyone wants to watch the PFW show on Neckin, it's up on the website. Chris got it up very early. I don't know
God
when he
bless
did
him.
It. I think
got
it was
up quickly.
Midnight last night. As soon as the show aired, he had it live on the site.
He works at midnight? Those layoffs worried him a little bit.
So,
all right, 3 days.
So if you want to watch that, it's up on Patriots.com right now. But, Paul, Andy and I figured out your new strategy for the trash talk. What you do is when you've had enough of Andy, you turn to Chris and bring him in on the conversation.
No, well, I didn't really feel a lot of passion yesterday, I will admit. That's why I even said it afterwards. I said, Andy – probably, I think that the depth aspect, the depth angle, and we talked about, just to let the listeners know in case they didn't watch the show, whether or not they should sign a veteran linebacker to fill in for Dallas Thomas. And while I don't necessarily think it's a pressing need, I think Andy's point about depth, now that you have Pierre Wood starting or Gary Guyton playing a more significant role, the guys behind them are now lacking. And I think that that's a good point by Andy. And I also think the point that Andy brought up about special teams is a good one that Fred, you and I talked about with Matt Smith. When guys that play normal roles on special teams are suddenly asked to play full roles on defense as well, that takes away from their special teams a little bit, even if they're still on those units. So the depth angle of it, to me, and that's why Andy made those points. I'm not going to sit there and just make cheap shots and just say, oh, you're an idiot, when I think that other guy makes a good point. I thought those were good points.
It's kind of like when I was a sophomore in high school, playing all special teams. I'm a kick coverage team. I had a long touchdown run in my first game playing some running back. If you watch the film after the long touchdown run, the following kickoff, I didn't move a single foot because I was dead tired.
See, but that's the kind of thing in the pros that they wouldn't allow to happen.
And that's the kind of thing in the pros, it costs you a game, potentially.
Right, but the coaches would never let that happen.
Right.
You know, they would automatically fill in because, you know, in high school, you don't necessarily have two and three deep on, kick coverage. You know, you don't have all that stuff ready to go.
Right.
If you're going on the fly when someone on the kick team is not out there, you know, L3 is out. You know, coach looks around and says, Smith, get in there.
Speaking of youth football, big shout out here to the King Philip, Pop Warner, B and D teams.
They won?
No, they're still out there. They're still playing.
So they won.
I saw them practicing last night. When did they play?
Over the weekend. They had a big playoff.
Yeah, they must have won because I saw them practicing last night. Lights on, dark,
yeah,
cold.
Yeah, tips on my father on Sunday, I think.
Were they in uppers?
What?
Were they wearing uppers?
These are kids. Leave them alone. Don't talk that way about them. So,
does Tippett coach one of them?
No. He coaches Sharon. Oh. King Philip is Wrentham, Norfolk, and Plainville, Massachusetts.
Is Tipp's team still around?
No. They bowed out.
Oh, that they lost on Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh.
But Jonathan Kraft's team is
they
still
bowed out.
Playing.
Oh, they lost?
The Brookline Jamaica Plain team, I think it is still in it. They won. So
is that a weird mix of talent?
I think that's why they're so good.
Because Jamaica Plain can be a pretty tough place.
They have a pretty good mix of kids on
Brookline
that team.
Brookline is pretty
ritzy. Yeah. But Jonathan's very proud of that team. He's the head coach. I think he's the head coach. I know he's a coach for sure. They're a good team. So they might be going to Florida.
How close are they?
I think one or two more wins, and that's it. Right, Paul?
Probably one.
One more win.
So if they win this weekend, they go to Florida?
Maybe two. Maybe they have regional semis and then regional finals, New England.
Yeah.
My guess is they won't have any trouble in finding funding to go to Florida, huh?
Yeah.
Or transportation, probably.
Ixnay on that. We'll talk to – I actually talked to Jonathan
illegal?
A little bit. And I was joking because his son is the quarterback.
Right.
And I said, so what do you got to work him off the plays, you know, work him out a play sheet off the wrist? And I laughed. And he said,
they do.
Yeah, he does.
No, but a lot of the teams actually have that now. They have the sleeve.
Yeah. So
but, yeah.
I was just making a joke, but it turns out that he really does.
Yeah.
There's some funnier steps to that, too.
I know. I was choosing to leave those off the air, however.
So, I didn't bring them on the air. I just said there's some funnier stuff.
So Pop Warner still going strong. And then the teams go down to Disney World to play in the finals for their divisions.
Okay.
So let's King Philip. That's where I'm from.
BND.
BND divisions.
Can both go?
Well, yeah, if they get into their division. If they get through the New England's,
so
yeah.
So basically they win one more game or something.
I think so. I think it's probably one more game.
So does that happen very often, that a town can send multiples?
Paul would know because his dad is in charge of all the Pop Warner in the world.
His dad is actually Pop Warner.
I think it's Pop Perillo.
Yeah.
But Paul's eating right now. He can't answer the question. But he would know if multiple teams have gone from
I was nodding my head yes, that multiple teams have gone from the same city.
Okay. Isn't Connecticut, Southington or something, one of those cities in Connecticut, they always send a team?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a specific system in Connecticut that's very good.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one it is, though.
Okay.
I didn't realize I was getting drilled on this. I would have called my father last night.
All right, so what kind of shoes you got on, Andy? What the hell are those?
Black ones.
Well, what's this little lip over the laces you got there?
I don't know.
Where do you find these shoes? You come in with shoes that like people wore in the 50s.
They're given to
them.
Is so gay.
Given to you by whom?
My brother-in-law is a shoe manufacturer.
It's just
actually, I think it's by who?
It's just another in a long line.
Well, what are these shoes?
It's another in a long line of things and major purchases in Andy's life that are just given to him.
I think they're
house.
I mean, it gives me a lot of floor shine.
Clothes.
Floor shine's a good name.
I think that's.
But they're weird. They have and the bottom of the laces is like a lip of leather that goes over the bottom of the laces. And are they made for like walking in dirt so you don't get dirt in the laces or something? Or
I think it's probably just for to be different, a little design element. They're very comfortable, though.
Are they?
I actually forgot I had them, found them the other day, and I've started wearing them again.
Okay, because you often come in with these shoes that, like, Kramer would buy at a secondhand store.
Well, every, like, 6 months or a year, he just comes to my house with a box.
Now, who's this? Who's he?
I just said my damn brother-in-law.
Okay.
Clean out your fat ears.
Now, he's a shoe salesman?
Designer.
He's a shoe
manufacturer.
Designer.
He worked. I don't really know exactly how it works. He works for a factory in China. He goes to China all the time. So he's actually like the U.S. representative for that factory and then talks American shoe companies into having their shoes made there. And I don't know exactly. But bottom line is he seems to have a lot of samples that come in my size and I end up with them.
Strippers, of course, gives us the answer. King Philip will be playing the Franklin Panthers on Thanksgiving Day. They have Pop Warner on Thanksgiving, Paul?
Sounds like high school.
Oh. Yeah, King Philip. There's King Philip High School. You got to go to the Pop Warner strippers.
I don't think they play Pop Warner on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's a rare strippers
inaccuracy
on an answer.
Right.
Wow.
Now, Thanksgiving's a week from tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So there might be two games that they have to win still, right? Because I'm pretty sure that Thanksgiving weekend is the regional finals. That's how everything gets wrapped up. And they have the big, huge cheerleading competition as well.
Well, they had that at URI last weekend.
Yeah, but that wasn't the final. That was the Eastern Mass or the
they won't like this show. Play that clip.
Yeah. The big one is at the DCU Center in Worcester.
Okay. All right. Well,
people won't like this show.
A lot of amateur football talk.
Well, and I'll tell you this,
radio.
Too. You know what was hard this week so far?
But doesn't anyone want to talk football?
Well, we are talking football.
We all want to talk football, but unfortunately, everybody was only wanting to talk about the Wildcat part of football, and it left for nothing to really discuss in the press conferences.
And then I asked a question, and Bill didn't get my question.
No, and I was wondering why you didn't ask a follow-up, because you didn't really answer your question.
I lost interest in the answer.
Well, I've been there.
He beat me down.
What was your question? Maybe I can answer.
What are some of the difficulties challenges of covering the middle of the field? Tight ends, crossing routes, running backs.
It's all about communication.
No, went into Anthony Fasano and David Martin.
He went into a long, detailed thing of how good Miami is in the middle of the field.
Which is fine. I mean, that's fine.
It.
I'm sure some people can
Pennington,
use that.
It's a good decision maker. They have Fasano and
Martin. I was talking in generalities.
Right.
Linebacker drops.
Plus, it would have been great if he had said those guys are hard to match up with. He didn't.
Right,
he just said, well, they do this and this. And
because he did that, I kind of felt like we were on Dolphin Day, and no matter what I asked was going to lead to a Dolphin answer, and I didn't. So I just nodded
and
smiled.
What I wanted to do is if he had said something about the coverages, I was going to ask, maybe if he said something like, you need the – sort of the cohesion between the linebackers' drops and the safeties and the communication, like you said, Fred, and then maybe saying, is that one of the things that's toughest for a young linebacker? Is that where you were going with the question? Because that's where I thought you
sort
were going.
Of. Yeah.
With Mayo.
I try not to lead him too much because sometimes
exactly.
If you don't lead him, you get a better answer.
You're absolutely right. If you lead him, he won't go where you want to go.
Unfortunately, today he went nowhere.
But I thought that maybe, with Woods and Guyton and Mayo, is that one of the things that's a little bit tougher for a young linebacker to make that adjustment. You made the comment that Ted Johnson said that, Fred.
Yep.
When he first came in, he had no idea about the coverages.
There was also some good Patrick Cobbs talk, and I think Bill misremembered it a little bit. He was asked, Bill, you have a history with Patrick Cobbs coming out. Well, we all have a history because he was a preseason superstar, 3 years ago. And then Bill said, yeah, we wanted to have him on the practice squad, but
we tried to get him on the practice squad, but he signed with the Steelers.
They traded him to the Steelers. The Steelers ended up cutting him. Dolphins ended up getting him. So he kind of misremembered that a little bit. Because Cobbs had one huge game, 170 yards.
Well, he caught an 80.
A long touchdown.
He caught an 80-yard touchdown and a 50-something yard touchdown, I think, against Houston in the same game.
And he can make a couple plays, but I certainly think you
he's
start
a poor man's Kevin Faulk.
Oh, I think he's beneath that.
That's why he's a poor man's.
I would say he's a poor man's Heath Evans.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Come
Evans
on.
Had a good game once, too.
No.
Wow.
He's a third down back
Patrick
that catches
Cobbs
passes out of the backfield.
Comparing him to Kevin Faulk is
I didn't
the most disrespectful thing you've ever said.
I didn't compare him to Kevin Faulk.
That's more disrespectful than me saying
he's
has
a third
skills.
Down back who catches passes out of the backfield at a much less rate than Kevin Faulk. Therefore, he's a poor man's Kevin Faulk.
You and Bill Belichick have in common. Sometimes in your answers, I fall asleep during both of you.
Wow.
Yeah. I would say with that, greatness. It's the first thing that came to mind.
Well, you are Hall of Famers.
What do me and Belichick have in common?
You are a two-time league all-star.
He's not a Hall of
Famer.
In
a league that was...
Are you kidding me?
A league.
It wasn't a league.
We learned some stuff during the TV show yesterday when Chris Collins said, now, did they have a league?
Just because there was no NCAA.
And it was more of a, what do they call it, a consortium? Consortium?
Yeah, but it wasn't, we weren't in the America East then either. So it wasn't like I made that, but I didn't make the real
boring.
League.
Boring.
Listen, you can be replaced too.
No, he works for peanuts in there.
That's true.
That's why he's still here.
Literally. He'll we were throwing in macadamia nuts.
He'll be the last
day,
one. He'll be the last one here.
That would be our fatness, sucking the chocolate off those nuts and
throwing the nuts at him. That won't be the first time for Eric.
That's true.
How was the locker room today?
Quiet.
Quiet.
Yeah. Pierre Woods did a big gangbang, but I didn't. I wasn't
what?
Involved. That's what we call it in the media when a lot of reporters talk to one player.
Okay, we need to clarify that then, because... Because
Eric could have been involved.
That clip could get out on the internet, and all of a sudden Pierre Woods is in trouble.
Could get out on the internet? Do internet radio.
Alone, out of context. You know what I'm saying?
I talked to a number of guys about tattoos. When we walked in, Randy Moss was on his cell phone yelling, Hey, it's Moss. What do you got?
Uh-oh.
I don't know who he's talking to.
Moss talked to Bert Breer today about NASCAR.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
I think if you want to talk NASCAR, he'll talk to you.
Yeah, because he's trying to promote Randy Moss Racing
but
and
I've
make
asked
money.
Him, I've asked him stuff, you know, and I've said that, you know, can I ask you a quick question about whatever? And
but this
he's
is business.
Always respectful, but always says no.
Yeah, but he doesn't
looking
like
out
you.
For,
I,
no.
He told
he
us.
You know what
I
he likes?
Like Paul.
That's
he likes
not true. He's
good old dinero, Fred, and Fred, he's looking out for Randy Moss Racing.
I will guarantee you this one thing. He has no idea who Paul Pirillo is.
Ah.
No clue whatsoever. Has no clue who any of those guys in that locker room,
let's keep it that way.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Why?
Now, what's this deal with we all know that Donovan McNabb came out and said that he wasn't aware that there was that there could be ties in the NFL, and now Andy Reid kind of backed him up, and there's this big clamor in Philly for both of their heads.
The fraternity is circling the wagons, and he's getting a lot of support. Ben Roethlisberger said he estimates 50% of the league doesn't know. I heard Brian Billick this morning say 50%
today.
Of league, which he included, players, coaches. Front office. I think there's probably some people that don't know, but I think they're supporting one of their own. I think there's a lot of people that know and like him.
I agree with Andy. I think there's an element of the brotherhood going on. But I did find it interesting. So I started asking players today in the locker room, Fred. Just real quick, I just went up to them and said, hey, did you know that games could end in a tie? Before this weekend, did you know that? And I only asked four or five players, and I'm going to try to get a few more tomorrow. But I did get a couple that didn't know. And one of them turned to me, and a high-profile player at that, and turned
you kidding
to me,
me
and said, to be honest with you, I didn't know that. Now, a couple of the other ones that I asked were very matter-of-fact. Yeah, of course. But one actually said, yes, he knew that a game could end in a tie, but asked me what the procedures were for the playoffs. What do they do in the playoffs? So it kind of ran the gamut of, yes, they knew, no, they didn't, I know a little.
Do you find that odd?
A little. And here's the thing, and Andy and I disagree on this. Maybe we could talk about this, Fred, and see where you land. I think the heat that Reed is getting is a little bit over the top. And to me, there got to be some level of knowledge that a pro football player should be just expected to have. I mean,
like
I can't.
An MCAS test.
Right. I mean, I can't. I mean, does Andy Reed have to have a pre-training camp meeting and say, all right, now, guys, you get four plays to get a first down. You have to get 10 yards to get a first down. I mean, at what point does it stop? Can't you assume that everybody knows how the clock works?
Yeah.
And that there's 15-minute periods?
Well, okay.
But Andy Reid is really getting killed for this.
I don't think
he should
be killed,
McNabb
but
didn't
I
know.
Think you can question
but, you know, when you say how the clock works, what happens in two-minute time?
No, no, no. I'm talking about the 15 minutes for a period and whatnot. You know,
I mean, kids know that just from watching on TV,
Andy Reid is getting killed about it. Because McNabb didn't know. And I just look at it, and, you know, and a lot of people have said, well, isn't it great that we have Bill Belichick here because we obviously don't have those problems. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. Well, first of all, my little informal poll sort of blew that out of the water today because there was at least one person who didn't know and another person who didn't know how the playoffs worked in that regard. So maybe Bill doesn't spend any time going over things that any 10-year-old kid should know.
Right. That watches football, sure.
But also, not just in general – shouldn't there have been a discussion in the overtime?
And evidently, according to Florio, there wasn't. On the overtime coin toss?
No. I mean from Reed. You know, sort of how we're playing this, and we need to win, or we're playing for a tie, or just sort of...
Well, I would think that
a
the only time it comes into
play
to me is in the final seconds. You know, like everybody is saying, it had to have affected the way the game was played. Well, why? If there's 10 minutes left in a quarter... And you know that the next score wins. Why are you playing with any less sense of urgency?
Well,
if a game ends now, if there's 30 seconds left and you're on your own 20, and you're saying, "Well, I'm just going to throw it up there because the game's going to be a tie if I don't throw a Hail Mary." I can't sit there and say I'm going to throw one over the middle, a runoff tackle, because I'll just let the quarter end and we'll go to the next quarter. But that's a select few plays at the very end of the game, and by that time, they all admitted, they all knew that it was going to be a tie.
But overall, I can see how a team would play different in overtime than they would in the regular, because, you know, like, for example, you know, some teams like that bend, but don't break. You can't do that in overtime because it's sudden death. You can bend.
Right.
You know,
so it doesn't change whether you think the game can end in a tie or not.
No,
it's sudden death.
It doesn't change that. Right. But I can see the style of play changing and teams saying,
I agree with you.
we're gonna alter the way we play defense a little bit because we can't get them inside the 40.
You know, it's third and five from the 45-yard line. I might blitz all 11 guys because a first down here loses the game for me.
Right.
So what's the sense of me playing it safe and keeping everything in front of me? I have to play with some desperation. But that's the same whether you think the game can end in a tie or not.
True.
You know, Donovan McNabb wins the opening coin toss of overtime. He has the ball on his own 20. He's doing everything he can to score to win. He knows the first points win.
Right. I think everyone knows that.
I just think it's one of those things. Is it embarrassing? Yes. Yeah. Should a pro football player know? Yes. Is it anywhere near as big a deal as it's being made out to be? In my opinion, no.
Right.
I think it's, you know, I don't think it affected the integrity of the game whatsoever. And people, you know, Tom Jackson and those guys were all talking about it on Monday night, and they were saying how it had to have affected the way the game was played. And I have yet to have anybody give me a concrete example of how that's so.
Yeah. I'm not buying that.
I just feel like in overtime, you know it's sudden death. They all said they knew it was sudden death.
Now, I don't even know how the game ended. How did the game end?
Cincinnati missed a long field goal in the last like 30 seconds. So Philly did get the ball, and they bombed. I think they just threw a Hail Mary. I'm not positive, but they got the ball deep in their own end with very little time.
Because certainly, if they had gotten the ball back and taken a knee and said, "We'll come back," and like,
but then. You wouldn't. But even then, if you thought, you know, like that's what I'm saying, you wouldn't. Let's say there was 35 seconds left, and you're on your own 30. And they ran the ball off tackle. Now I can say that affected the way the game was played. They thought they were going to another quarter.
Right.
But I don't think that was the case. Now, I think that might have been the last play right there. They just showed McNabb heaved the ball toward the end zone, and it just fell incomplete.
Do you think that, you know, it just raises the issue enough where the league's going to look at the overtime rules?
No.
You think they'll keep it the way it is, sudden death?
Well,
coin toss and sudden death?
I personally think that the outrage of Mike Ditka the other night was embarrassing. John Clayton, you play five quarters in the regular season. If that game ends in a tie, it ends in a tie.
Yeah, I don't.
What's the big deal?
I have no problem with the game ending in a tie, but you know we've had the discussion for a long time about you know how one team can get the ball, score a field goal, and that's it. You know, and you know you've had some recommendations where each team should get one possession, and then after that, anything goes.
17th tie since 1974. Yeah.
And then
since overtime.
I think. And somebody, I read somewhere that Bill Belichick, and I didn't hear this myself, so I don't know if it's true, but he said they should play with a limited amount of time in overtime, and it should be just time, just the way.
If they go 10 minutes, but.
But you could have a 10-minute drive,
but that's not it. Yeah, but that's your fault if you allow that to happen.
Yeah, it's true, but I think 10 minutes isn't long enough myself, but.
Personally,
so
if I had
sudden death, it would just be a time.
He wants it to be a 10-minute timed quarter. I heard Bill talk.
You know,
about
you play under time constraints in the regular game. You should also in overtime.
If I had my choice, I think I would say, you know, and it's hard. But that doesn't change the game very much. So I kind of like that 10-minute thing. But if I could make one change, and it would be a drastic change to the way the game's played, I would just say no field goals.
No field goals.
If you lost the opening coin toss and you allow the team to drive the length of the field on you for a touchdown, you lose.
But I think the aim of it should be you don't want to alter the rules for this overtime.
Yeah, I know. That's the flaw with mine. Yeah, yeah. Admittedly, that's the flaw with mine.
So why not guarantee a possession each and then sudden death after that? You know, I
don't understand what the difference is. That's a common one that people bring up. I don't really know what the difference is with that. The guy who won the coin toss still has an advantage.
Well, they get the ball first, and if they score a field goal, you get a chance to meet that or beat it.
Once. And then if they score again, you lose.
What do you mean if you score again? Yeah. Well, if you both score a field goal, then it gets into overtime. At least you've had a chance to win the game. You know, if they score a touchdown, you have to.
But I'm not sure you do.
Sure you do.
No, all you have a chance at is to match the other team's score.
Right.
Once.
Right.
Then the next time you might not have that chance. So I don't really know what that changes.
Maybe you flip a coin after each one possession.
Yeah, I don't want to get involved in any of that.
No. I like the way they do it.
I like the way it is too, because to me, the whole point of it is you couldn't decide in a regular game, so the urgency should be heightened. There should be an increased level here because it's overtime. It's extra, and you need to. It's sudden death. You need to end it quickly. Now, I also don't. There's the whole thing that they should just keep going. You know, have extra quarters, and Chris Mortensen, all the injuries, and it would go on forever, and it would change. I think you're being a little dramatic there, because how many games would really go four more quarters or something ridiculous?
That's the part of it. That's the tie thing. They shouldn't have ties. They should just keep going. I don't get that. They just showed you 17 times since 1974. We need to institute a whole new rule for 17 times in 30 years?
Maybe we should do what soccer does and have a field goal kickoff after.
No. The problem people have now is that field goal kickers are deciding it.
Right. Talk about never ending.
All right. We're going to take a break right now. We'll get back to your emails right after this.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
A rooster, also called a cock or a chancelier, chanticleer, the female being called a hen. The oldest term is cock from Old English. Cock.
So Andy's a chicken? Is that what you're telling me?
Hen equal female chicken. Rooster equal male chicken. So welcome to second grade, Fred.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
They're all chickens. All of them.
It's true.
Right. Subdivided into rooster and hens.
And what do you call a rooster?
What do you mean, what do you call a rooster? A cock. What? That's what you call it. Oh, John is on the phone from L.A. Thanks for telling me, Dan.
Hey, guys.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm pretty ticked off about this Gary and Mike thing. I think it's horrendous. I think it's exactly what is wrong. I mean, like the NFL isn't the most lucrative business in the world. It just, you know, along with not having Monday or Friday with you guys, having this Spanish speak up so loudly.
I hear you, John. But here's the problem.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
The problem is, though, that the Patriots or the Revolution, for example, didn't lay anyone off. It's Gillette Stadium, and business is down. I mean, it sucks. It sucks. But it's not the Patriots, you know.
Well, all right, whoever it is, though, I mean, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I just think that you can afford, I don't think Mike's making a whole bunch of money here. And I don't think Gary's making that much
either. Yeah, but John, we laid off over 60 people.
Lay off the people I don't know. But lay off the people who don't affect me.
Okay.
I'm with you, John.
All right. Well,
I'm with you, John.
To pick up on your Donovan McNabb thing, Donovan McNabb is stupid for not knowing the rule, but he's especially stupid for not knowing to shut up that you don't know the rule.
I agree with that, too.
Like, right. Who on earth thinks it's a good idea to share that with the media?
What's the old saying, John? It's better to be thought of stupid than to open your mouth and prove it?
Yeah, remove all doubt.
Right.
By messing up that quote. I'm just kidding.
That's okay.
I'm just kidding.
Same idea.
But he's had problems in the past saying dumb things. He doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut and when to open it about certain topics, yeah. And his mom and blogs,
right.
and all that stuff.
Has anybody been piling on Ben Watson at all?
No more so than usual.
Because I've been a Ben Watson defender for a long time, just out of, I guess, hope and optimism. But that's the low. That's it. Just leave. Get out.
Wow.
I mean, this guy, you know, I don't know what they're called, but you know that rope thing where it's set up in a grid and you run through it in football practice and you probably do it at the combine to show how quick your feet are?
Yep.
This guy, I've never seen him, except for Champ Bailey, which, by the way, did not end in success. I've never seen that guy run more than 5 or 10 yards without tripping all over himself.
Well,
and that fumble was pathetic.
He's fast, but he's not a natural athlete. So that's why you don't see those fluid run after the catch because, first of all, he's spending extra time trying to make sure he catches the ball. He can't just assume he's going to catch it because half the time he doesn't. And then he's all of that is natural athleticism, eye-hand coordination, catching the ball.
What is his best athletic play that he's made since he's been here?
The Champ Bailey play.
The Champ Bailey. And what did that require?
Speed.
Basically,
straight line
just
speed
running in
and
a
effort.
Straight line. Right.
Effort and speed.
Right. The problem is when you try to combine that with the
quickness,
skills of
hands,
right.
Catching, all that.
He
lacks most of them.
Anytime he catches a ball outside of the numbers, you can almost see him thinking, if
right.
That makes any sense.
It's a mental
I got to catch the ball, like Andy said. I have to make sure I secure the ball. I have to get my feet down. He had a couple that he was kind of backing up toward the sideline and stumbling his way. He falls down, and like he barely – I mean,
right.
Balls
he's,
that he
he's
caught
like
up the numbers
six,
that
right.
He barely was in bounds.
He's like 5 yards off. Right. Somehow it's a close
it's
call.
It's like he loses his mind.
Or
you can almost
not
hear
a natural
it.
Football
you
player.
You can hear
athlete.
The thought process.
Player. It's like Steve. That's Steve Bass. Is that the guy? Is that the right guy in baseball who all of a sudden couldn't? Throw
Steve Blass. Yeah.
Steve Blass. You know, it's a mental thing. I think that he, like you said, Paul, he's thinking too much.
But more so than at least he lost it. Ben Watson just never has been
it.
A natural athlete, tight end, playmaker, any of that. He's a guy who's gifted physically. He has size and speed and that, but he doesn't have natural athleticism.
It's like his hand-eye coordination is
not
his
good.
Hands aren't out in front. He's waiting for the ball to come into him.
And he's scared to death. That's why he jumps to catch the ball, to use anything he can to stop it.
He does look afraid when the ball's coming his way, like, oh, I can't drop this one. I can't drop this one.
When your left arm is forcing fumbles out of your right arm, you should be scared.
The fumble was unbelievable.
That was... I think John's right. That was one of those Patrick Pass-like inexcusable plays.
Yeah. All right.
He's like the opposite of Troy Brown and Wes Welker, where, you know, Belichick, the highest praise he gives is say he's a football player.
Yeah.
He's a good football player. Ben Watson's not a football player.
Yeah.
He's like ultimate frisbee. That's what he is. He's ultimate frisbee and with a ball. And
with a ball.
Get out.
Wow.
Just get out.
Wow.
That's me. Somebody who's defended him a long time. That's what happens. Once you lose someone who's defended you a long time, they get extra angry.
Well, yeah, because
I agree.
You invested a
lot
let's
be of, honest,
you
know, sold
brain
out.
Power on this guy.
You sold out for like 2 years. You were defending him when he didn't really deserve defending.
Right, exactly.
I don't
is
know.
There any shot Gary and Mike come back as a temporary thing, or is it just like, no, done?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know.
Well, wish them well from the legion of listeners. I think it's just pathetic.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Will do.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, John in L.A. on fire today. Just coming, bringing it. Not happy. You know?
We lost a couple key parts of the show.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some emails.
What do you think the anger came more from, though? Like, was he angry about Watson and that kind of led into the Gary, or he was angry about Gary and that led into the Watson?
Yeah, I think it's all being
built up. A lot of frustration.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a combination of a lot of things, Andy. It's never any one thing.
Did you notice, though, Watson did not get an ounce of defense from the host of this program, who's Mr. Patriot?
Hey!
But you know what? I got to give Fred the credit on this one. He's been somewhat critical of the
I'm very, very disappointed.
The inconsistent play. Fred has been ready to call that out in the past.
I mean,
bigger bust, Ben Watson or Dan Graham?
Oh, I think Watson by far.
I haven't really been following Graham since he left here, so I don't know.
Caught a touchdown last week, winning touchdown.
He's actually played reasonably well for Denver, especially lately.
Yeah.
But I think as a Patriot, I'm just talking about as a Patriot
with that
question. And I think that they're both subpar receivers, that both don't catch as many passes as they should thrown in their direction, and Watson is not anywhere near as accomplished a blocker.
The only thing I was kind of factoring in also is 32nd pick traded up to the 21st pick, little higher pick. Factor that in there.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's part of it.
What about Watson's blocking, though? Has he not blocked well this year?
He's not as good as Graham.
He's a reasonable blocker, but he's not Graham.
I think he's improved since he started. I think
there he is. You were looking for him.
Well,
there he is.
And Ben Watson probably also realized, if I want to last in this league, I've already busted out as a playmaking tight end.
Well, whatever the
block.
Reason is, he has gotten better in his blocking game. I mean,
and as we said about Graham, I get those in the third round.
That's fair. Fair point.
But he's not as good as Graham.
And they were both supposed to be prototype athletic pass catching downfield tight ends.
That's the one thing I will say though. Graham was more highly thought of coming out of college. He was a more proven playmaker.
He had a better college career.
Ben Watson was kind of a freak of nature pick, more so than a proven.
In terms of production,
his numbers were nothing. I don't even know what he did.
Graham's production was much better.
Right. I mean, he was the best tight end in the country.
He won the Mackey Award.
Some of those highlights, you go, whoa, he's good.
And like jumping over defenders in the secondary and. He was a good player. He was a good player in college.
Both disappointments. Both
no question. No question.
So
they both were not worthy of the first round.
The days of drafting tight ends high may not be over.
I hope they are.
We better hope they are.
Well, they got to hit on one of them eventually.
It's a tough position.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go all that high with tight ends. I think you have just as good a shot at getting a good tight end elsewhere, second, third, fourth round.
And there's only one, maybe two per year. That go that high.
Right.
Yeah, and I think, though, that you can't put the emphasis on speed. It's got to be hands and blocking.
Well, it's
got to
be football.
Running.
It's got to be tape over measurement.
One of the most successful guys in the NFL right now, and it could be because of the system in Romo, was Witten. Guy's not fast, but he gets open.
He's pretty fast and pretty athletic.
He's pretty athletic.
Well,
you're underrating his athletic ability.
You think so?
Yes.
I mean, I see him catch the ball, and I don't see he's wide open. I don't see a lot of yards after catch.
Oh, I think you're missing some of his games.
Well,
yeah.
No, but when he's wide open, he has yards. But when he's in,
well, how do you think
he doesn't
wide
break
open?
Tackles? But he doesn't break tackles. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think he's
you
a better player.
Remember when his helmet came off?
Yeah, I think he's
remember
a better
that play when he had no helmet on. He was
the
out
thing that him. I would have been surprised from watching him at Tennessee is I'm surprised that he's as physical a player in terms of blocking as he is. He was a good downfield threat in the SEC, which is a pretty high level, and I'm surprised that he's as good. People consider him the best all around. In terms of blocking and receiving, a lot of people think that he's the best.
I mean, there's plenty of good. I mean, he's an example. What's his name in Baltimore is an example of good tight ends were good.
Heap is very good, but he's always hurt.
Right.
That's the problem with him.
But like Greg Olsen, I mean,
he's been okay.
Miller's been pretty good.
First round picks that Andy's rattling off, it's hard to really think of a lot of them that were
obviously
really
Ernie
well.
Davis
here's,
was a
here's my
bust.
Point with right. the speed. I'm less concerned with what he does after the ball, but get your hands on the ball and catch it. Because usually you're going to your tight end a lot of times on third down. He's sometimes a second or third choice on a check down, and he's just got to catch the ball.
And that's why I'm saying watch tape. Watch him bang into a linebacker, roll off him, and make a catch. And does he do that frequently? Because he's going to have to do that. Regardless of how fast he is, somebody's going to be banging him. There's going to be players around him. So can he play the position? Can he do what you need in a tight end?
And Andy, you just made the point, like you can get him, second, third, fourth round. And look at all the guys, not stars, but just solid guys that catch the ball when it's thrown to them, like Bo Scaife. you know, the kid Spaeth out of Minnesota from mm-hmm. the place for the Steelers now is their second yep. tight end. You know, even like the Martellus Bennett made a big catch the other night for Dallas. And I know he hasn't had a really – I'm not saying these guys have had good rookie years because they haven't. But Keller we saw make a bunch of catches. There was a lot of guys that were kind of in that middle area that we watched on tape. I thought the tight ends were pretty good pass catchers right. this year, this crop. And I think you could get one of those guys in the middle rounds that could contribute. Now, David Thomas is that guy to me. He just hasn't had a lot of opportunity. He's been hurt and hasn't had a lot of opportunity. But I think he's that kind of guy.
But
I'd rather take David Thomas in the third round than Graham or Watson in the first.
Well, obviously. And yeah, the difference.
I agree.
The difference between not the top tight ends, because the top two, three, four tight ends are very good. They're going to get you 75 to 90 catches, probably 8 to 10 touchdowns, whatever. The drop-off there is huge, but the drop-off from the 6th best tight end to the 20th best tight end in the NFL is kind of just a juggle. Who cares? So I'd rather not. I think there's a chance you bust out more than you hit one of those great ones. Mm. I mean, Gonzalez and Gates don't come along.
That's
that
my
often.
Point about I'd rather have the third rounder than the first rounder because – yeah, if I knew
it's like
it was
fantasy sports when they tell the you kicker. Don't draft the kicker because the difference
all
between
the same.
Best kicker and the worst kicker is minimal.
They're all the same, fantasy wise.
Yeah,
you so know, they to all me, kick. All the tight ends are the same except for the very few that are.
Well,
great.
I think when they drafted both these guys, I think they really thought that they might have something special.
Oh,
in
I assume
Watson
that's
in
why they used a first round pick on him.
Yeah, I mean, if I had the knowledge that I could get a Gonzalez or a Gates,
yeah.
then sure,
then you take them.
But
you know.
They're just there's more Vernon Davises. And Grahams and Watsons and Greg Olsons that have been just blah, you know,
right.
or in Vernon Davis's case, worse than blah.
Right, good to bust or average to bust.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. William Berry writes in, Paul's favorite emailer. Wow, no
he's
Gary and Parenti. I listened to the podcast and was shocked. I know this is not your job, and I doubt their first thought is telling you of their new jobs, but if you hear about, say, Gary getting a job producing for a Worcester radio station or such, can you give him a shout-out on the show? Absolutely, when we find out what's going on. We'll direct people to his new endeavor.
Unless it's
he's got some irons in the fire. I talked to Gary yesterday.
Oh, that's good. Yeah?
He's working on it.
Good.
He's pretty bummed out, though.
I mean, I don't know how these people dealt with it. I'd have been – I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
have been –
And you know what? The thing, and I don't want to speak for Gary. He's a big boy, and he can speak for himself. But I just think he really enjoyed being
yeah.
here. I think he enjoyed working with us and this show.
Yep.
And I think that's probably the biggest thing that he's missing right now.
Yep. First football, says William, since the Miami game is must win, would you think if they lose to the Dolphins game, do you think they should tank and get a higher draft pick?
No.
I can guarantee you whether you think they should or not, it's not a possibility.
I'm just not into that.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
I think you win as many games.
I don't think too many people are, I mean, except ML Carr.
I think you win as many games as you can. And you.
As an athlete, how do you play not to win?
Right.
You know?
The only thing I would say in this particular case.
Particular?
That would make me even give it some thought. And I would still play balls to the wall to win. But maybe if I lose the next two and I'm 6-6 and, you know, everybody else wins, you know, and I'm really in trouble, maybe I think about giving Kevin O'Connell some snaps in December. But I'm still playing those games to win, absolutely playing those games to win. But you, if I'm Bill, I can make the argument, this is helping my team. This is in the best interest
yes.
of my football team in the long run, is to get this guy who's going to be a part of the 2009 team some experience.
Of course, that's a tough sell on the other guys that are –
enormously
we're still
tough.
Really trying to win.
Well, maybe you wait until you're 6-8. And
no,
you,
I
now,
know.
Now I'm out of it. You know
it's
what I'm
still
saying?
A red flag to Randy Moss. That all right,
well,
golf season.
God, I mean, the red flag's been up for Randy Moss since
the eight-minute mark of the first quarter
against Kansas City.
Stripper says that Gary should be a strip club DJ for real. So if you have any leads, send them to Paul. After Paul checks out the club, he'll let Gary know about it.
I knew he was going to say that.
He can play jackpot.
Sean McLaughlin. No, this isn't Sean McLaughlin.
Hey,
this is
by the way,
Sean.
I'm glad you brought up Sean McLaughlin, though. You know what he does?
What does he do?
He is a rep for Miller Lite.
Ooh.
He was already my favorite emailer.
And we don't. We haven't got a six-pack of...
He said he's got some things going.
Six-pack. I'm shooting higher than six-pack.
Just changing some things. I told him that Andy also shares in the enthusiasm for Miller Lite, so...
Free Miller Lite, I'm very into.
Well, no, you're not allowed.
No, first of all, you're a beer snob.
I enjoy the taste of beer. I don't just drink to get drunk.
I enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
You always have to order something fancy. You're like Eric, Stella Artois.
I enjoy the taste of certain beers. I really do.
You're a snob.
It's not a snob.
And you often try the local one or the...
Yes, I do.
Then how do you know you enjoy the taste of that beer?
I don't. I try it.
You just know what? Said you the, order it because you like the taste.
The operative
how many
word
times
here
have
was,
you seen
I
him,
try it.
How many times have you seen him with a full glass? He just leaves it there and he doesn't like it.
That's right, because I don't
so
like
why
it.
Not order a Miller Lite that you know you're going to like?
Because he's a beer snob.
Because I like trying
Because he's a beer snob. All you
things.
People have to say, oh, I tried the blah, 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 and
I like
it was
trying
a little
things.
Hoppy.
He goes to Sunset
So you go to a restaurant, you always
all.
Get the same thing?
Generally.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. That's fine. You know, you're an idiot.
I know what I like, and I want to have a good meal.
That was just classic BFW in progress. Generally. Well, you're an idiot.
Why try other things that you may or may not like?
Because you might like them.
But you might not like them.
No, A
bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Okay. Sean in Boston says,
Andy won that one, hands down.
Since you didn't,
you're an idiot.
Since you didn't touch on this much Monday, I thought I'd bring it up. How do you think the loss of Ty Warren affected the defense? It seemed to me that the Jets were running to Mike Wright's side for most of the night. Also, I thought our worst unit was special teams. Washington was consistently putting the Jets in good field position, and obviously the touchdown. Do you agree? One more thought. With Gary gone, does that mean Two-Gender will take over game day operations because it's going to be embarrassing when he messes up in front of 70,000 people?
Two-Gender, what do you have to say about that?
No, he's helping out.
Jason?
Jason
who's
DeMorca,
doing it?
Dr.
He's
DeMorca.
In there, too.
Dr. Death.
Doctor will be the one that's embarrassed.
Dr. Doctor. Death is taking that over.
Why? What can you screw up? You hit 70s remix and let it play.
you show the replay when, you know... They,
controversial play for the other team. Throw the red flag out there.
Right, the other team is.
Oh, you do have
challenging
do
it. Yeah,
you don't really do it though. You have somebody who does it.
Yeah, but they make the call.
That person didn't get laid off, did they?
You know.
All right.
So what do you think about Ty
Warren? I think I agree with was it Sean? I agree with Sean. I thought they ran at Mike Wright a lot.
He made some plays,
but
though.
He played reasonably well, but not Ty Warren well. Ty Warren's
no,
an enormous
he's Mike
loss.
Wright, and he's a backup.
Ty Warren is a big loss. No yeah. doubt.
How about special teams? What happened there? I know we know Ventrone went out early, but man, and they've been doing reasonably well on coverage this year. And all of a sudden, that game
lately. I mean, they had an 85-yarder the day before, the game before
that's
too.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, was this the James Sanders one?
I mean, Michael. See, I chucked that one up though, Paul. Like, you know, it was the end of the game.
But
they
still,
kind of let their guard down
a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
James
yeah.
Sanders took. He said we tried something. We stacked it. You know, they were running behind each other down the field. And they weren't both on the same page. They read something, whoever he was stacking with, and it blew up. They screwed it up.
Yeah, the only thing about that I'd say, Andy, is that Sean's right. They had three or four others that were up around the 40.
No, they weren't good.
So the biggest difference to me in the two games with the Jets was every kick was a touchback in the Meadowlands, and they weren't this time.
Paul Perillo blaming the kicker.
No, not at all. In late November on a night game? Yeah. No way.
Kicker's that, responsible for touchbacks. There's
no way.
Other place that blame can be laid.
Andy, could anyone have
I don't
it?
Think you can expect him to have eight touchbacks in this game playing at night in November.
Maybe it wasn't James Sanders' fault.
What? Unbelievable. He's unbelievable.
I mean, really if you is. Really felt that way, it'd be one thing. But you're just saying it to cause trouble. You're just being an ass.
He had one touchback
well,
in the game, and that was in overtime.
What about what we just talked about? Mike Wright started. Gary Guyton's playing a lot. Pierre Woods is playing a lot. Brandon Merriweather's playing more full time.
I think that's an issue.
Are there any others? Sam Aiken's playing receiver.
Gerard Mayo's on that kickoff.
Team. Gerard Mayo, but he's been there all year. So
I know, but
I'm thinking
but
more changes
Andy,
of late.
Do you think he's a little bit less fresh now than he was maybe a month and a half ago?
I don't know.
Especially that game. I mean, he was all over the place. You know, he was probably tired.
So I think Sean's right to be a little concerned about that moving forward. This is probably a good week to bounce back because. The Dolphins haven't been very dangerous in terms of their return game. You know, contrary to Bill's Devon Bess love affair, they haven't been very productive in the return game. Although I guess they had one call back.
And they've had a couple over the last couple of years. Who cares? Fred didn't hear you. He was busy flipping off Brett Favre on the TV.
I saw him.
Oh, I can't stand the Jets. I really, you know, it's just
why
I just
losing
to that team is really bad.
Matter of fact,
well, obviously,
not just
when I thought we were going to lose in regulation. What did I say to you? F the F and Jets.
Right.
I hate the Jets.
Ugh.
I don't hate anyone.
I hate the Jets. I always hated the Jets, and I always will. I always hated the Dolphins too. I hate them too.
So is it
For some reason, the Bills were just irrelevant to me.
What's the matter?
What are you going to do this week if they lose?
I'll probably...
Is the season over if they lose?
I'll probably jump
off a cliff. Plans for January.
You know that big highway that we have to cross when we go to Champs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably going to run out in the middle of it.
I could just push you down in the ditch like I did to the kid in the PR department once.
Right. There's alligators down there, too.
There are.
Yeah.
Can we get a ride this week? I don't want Andy knocking me down any cliff.
Can we ride?
It's not a long walk.
It's about a half a mile.
You know what we should bring? You have wire cutters?
At home I do, yeah.
Can you bring them?
I don't bring them with me to the game.
Because that's what screws us. We got to go left out of the hotel, out the driveway. If we could cut straight across the parking lot and out that fence, that would shave 10 minutes of walking off.
Can you bring wire cutters? We got a machete.
We got to cut through those bushes, too.
Yeah, but the chain link fence is... I don't think the machete's going to do it.
Yeah, plus, I don't really want to be walking through bushes at night in Florida.
Yeah, I'll bring a big pair of wire cutters, and we'll see if I can get on the plane.
Oh, with our security? Of course you can. Shh. Put it in your checked bag.
All right. Ping Pong writes
in. Ping Pong!
Wow, I am greatly sorrowed hearing that some of the key parts of the show have been let go, and I was devastated when I heard Lori was released.
Ping Pong!
Besides Fred, I think that she was
the most important part
of the show. Who else will we now hear say cherry pie?
That's not Lori.
That's Christina.
No one knows who Lori is anymore. They all think she was on.
And she's still here.
Patriots Today for the last 2 years.
We'll have to get Lori back. I mean, Lori. We'll have to get Christina back on the show to prove to people that she's still here. So.
She was only here once, and you made her uncomfortable, and she hasn't.
She was fine. You were the one that was uncomfortable having a woman in the set.
Ping pong! It's kind of like I'm uncomfortable when.
Can't handle it.
The girl at New England Cable News comes to fix the cameras, and you're like.
And then yesterday, to the point where Chris said, "Hey, Freddie, there's your girl."
Guys are here.
That was a little loud for my liking.
That's why she came out.
Oh yeah,
she knows.
Yeah, she likes you.
On the other hand, I have noticed
she's like short, fat, 55-year-old.
This is ping pong. On the other hand, I have noticed how much people love online ranking and stats. I have proposed this before, but it never worked out. I think that you forgot about the PFW Listener Hall of Fame should be started today by each of you nominating one listener. James said that he would start a Hall of Fame on the website in a previous email. You should each nominate one person each Wednesday for a couple weeks.
I nominate strippers.
And Ping Pong says, P.S., Eric's favorite food must be Sack Attack sausages from Patriots Gridiron Grillers.
Ping Pong! Sack Attack sausage.
We're awaiting Eric. He should be coming with the practice report soon.
The uppers. It wasn't uppers. It was kind of uppers.
In all seriousness, I know that we tend to make fun of him a lot, but what do you guys think as listeners? I mean, he came in yesterday and said they were in uppers. And then 5 minutes later, he just... I'm sorry, they were in full pads.
Right.
I mean, how does that happen?
Stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
He's trying to interject his football lingo from his days at BU, and he gets so focused on that he loses the facts, what actually was out there.
In college, do they have uppers?
Uppers are just shoulder pads. It's when you don't have pants on.
Right.
Well, you have shorts. I know where you're going with this. I didn't mean to say you don't have pants on, Fred.
Which is why I gave Eric a hard time about that. I said, were they in the undershells or were they in...
Right. Do they have shells in college?
Probably now.
Yeah.
Well, certainly at, like, Nebraska and Oklahoma. They have everything and more than these guys have.
Yeah. He's right.
Okay. I just, back in the high school days, we didn't have shells.
No, we didn't have any of that.
But we used to have just helmet practices.
Oh, yeah. Shorts. Yeah. Absolutely. But we never had shells. It was either pads or no pads.
Well, when you played, they certainly didn't have the stuff invented.
Oh, here we go.
I'm being factual. It was 35 years ago or whatever it was.
You're being arrogant, as usual. That's what you're doing.
Why is pointing out the facts arrogant?
You're being a dick.
Hey, wait a minute. Right. I got kicked off this show for saying that.
That's true.
Did he?
Yes, you kicked me off for saying that word.
It was more the context.
Yeah, he called a certain running back that word.
Right. D-I-K.
C-K.
Huh?
You can't say that, Fred.
And he called me it.
Well, we're
he
talking
didn't
about
just
Sporting
it.
Goods. You should pay attention to the show. What are you doing, the two of you back
well,
there?
Well, then he called me a Dick's Sporting Goods.
Mike in Arlington, Virginia. So I've been thinking about next season. It's certainly good news that Brady is progressing, but
fans are going to be stunned if they go on like a 5-game winning streak, huh?
What?
I think everybody's thinking about next season.
It's certainly good news that Brady is progressing, but I'm wondering if he'll be able to come back strong. Castle is certainly proving himself this year, and I am wondering if the Patriots should franchise him. This will keep him around until we know Brady is good to go. If Brady is okay, then we trade Castle away. What about it?
It's a tough decision.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
I'm writing my commentary on this very topic. And,
really?
I don't think they should franchise him.
Oh.
Why?
Well, now we're joining the legions of fans who aren't thinking about this year.
Well, okay, I'm sorry.
Scrap the commentary, Paul.
Well, I you'd have a chance of getting me to scrap it if I wasn't 750 words in. I just don't think it's a good idea. I think it's too much money. And you run the risk of having to pay that money. You have to have that cap space. And it's going to be about $14.5 million.
Now, what about the problem we asked yesterday? The fact that potentially, two straight off seasons, you lost one of the top two or three free agents for nothing. Last year was Asante Samuel because of the agreement you had worked out previously under the franchise tag. This year it would be because you're not willing to go the franchise route and risk that.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate.
I mean, that's a commodity. That's you sort of wasting a commodity.
That's the system.
What's the deadline for declaring a franchise player?
February 23rd.
20th?
Something like that.
Is it?
19th.
Okay, that's sooner than I thought.
It's at the combine. It's a
week before the start of free agency.
Well, okay, so it does become like, you know, what I was thinking is you just try to figure out what's going to happen with Brady before you pull that switch.
You won't know. You'll know what you basically know now, that he's rehabbing, he's getting better, and he may or may not be ready to start the year.
You know, it's
but they'll know then.
It's 3 months from now, but you know, we'll see.
They should know then if he needs to have any
more procedures. Yeah, well, I kind of think they know that now.
I'm not sure that infection's cleared up.
Well, cleared up or
gone.
Gotten worse.
Well, no, would but he, I'm saying gone.
Well, would actually, he would he be here if it hadn't? He's you know
he's
would he
been
have left?
Going to the hospital.
But no, but.
Right, but
for
he's
that
been going
type
to
get treatment
to getting it checked. He's,
right,
yeah.
But right. Not checked. He's been on a 6 week plan, and he's probably just about ending it or whatever.
Right.
I mean,
but what I'm saying is exactly. Based on and listen, I'm not trying to pretend I know what's going on with Tom Brady because I don't, and neither does anybody else that pretends they know what's going on with Tom Brady. By the way,
certainly not El Trache.
Right, but wouldn't it, based on all the stories that we've read, wouldn't it seem that once the infection, the whatever the 6 week period of IV antibiotics that he was supposed to be taking, whenever that's up, that's when they'll reassess to see if any the infection is in fact gone and whether or not any further damage was done to the graft and whether or not they have to redo it.
Oh, that's not how I read it.
That's the way it was written in that Globe story.
I read it as they already kind of knew whether it was in the graft or not.
Well, this is what the story said. In all likelihood, there will not be damage to the graft. But they won't know for sure until the infection
right
because
runs its course, any infection
I don't understand
can
that. Exactly.
Can go away and come back. But I think they feel pretty good that they got it before it infiltrated the graft. That's a good word.
I just don't. I mean, that might be right. I just don't know how that's possible.
I think they know now that they're moving forward, not backwards.
Well, I mean, I'm operating under the assumption that Brady is going to be okay to start 09.
I think
anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the way I'm feeling.
Matt, the video yesterday, I guess.
Of him,
I heard people talking
out of the apartment, yeah.
And then some more video of him with Larry Izzo double dating with Giselle and doing his usual. You know, you're at a dinner table in a nice fancy restaurant, and you just feel the need to make out and molest your female.
Larry Izzo. Now this is news.
Yeah, that would be news. Larry Izzo and Brady making out. Another Brady side.
Andy, just a total stream of consciousness
right.
Tonight.
Did you see that the Herald wrote about what was in his locker?
Yeah,
I would sue.
That's crap.
That's BS.
Right there is the reason why they should have
an
area where they do interviews that's outside the locker room.
But it's wrong. It's just flat out wrong.
And not only that, it was written, and they were doing it on purpose because it was a snide remark about the company he endorses and the company that's was in his locker, the product that he was using. That's wrong. I mean, that was a calculated attack on him because they're trying to get, what is it, Glacow or
right.
That water company mad at him because he had another product visible in his locker. You weren't just doing it.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be allowed to report on the contents of someone's locker,
right.
Period. Whether you're trying to do something like that or not.
But, I mean, this was clear. This wasn't a mistake. They were trying to be jerks. And I think it was,
I can't tell
from our clips, but it looked like it came from like the inside track or that area of the paper more so than it was not a sports or.
It was probably in the inside track, but it had to be told by someone here, right? There's no one in the inside track was here.
Who knows? I don't know who.
Well, Paul knows because he's got a thing for one of them.
Oh. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Well, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
August 23rd, 2008. Well, it's been a busy summer, but I finally have some new images to share with everyone. Please check out the new photography section in the gallery. There, you'll find several of my snapshots from Italy, Eggpipe, and my hometown of Providence, Rhode Island. There'll be some new paintings up there later this year as well. Football season's back, which means I'm busier than ever traveling with the Patriots again. But I'll soon be shopping around for more galleries in which to exhibit, hopefully in time for the new year.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
You might want to turn the mic on. Fred.
Eric's back. When you do your Christmas cards...
Yeah.
Do you do one of those end of year letters to all your friends
and
all the stuff that happened?
No, sir.
I have an aunt who does that.
No, I don't.
I cannot stand those.
Really?
And little Richie got accepted into Dartmouth. And I
never got
like,
one.
Who gives a crap?
My parents used to get a lot of those when I was a kid.
I never got one of those, and I've obviously never sent one.
Now, Eric, in the photos section on Scalvino.com, will these homoerotic images you've been taking in the locker room be appearing?
Okay. Well, what is going on here? You asking guys to take off their shirts now?
Fred's a little concerned.
Let me tell the truth and put this whole myth.
What little reputation KW has
an habitual liar.
Andy is an habitual liar. Andy is doing a feature coming up on player tattoos. He did it in 2006.
Yes.
called Pat Sink. And he's doing it again this year. So I'm assisting him with the artwork side of that and taking photos of the players he's interviewed.
Yes, but I don't know why you needed to ask them all to take their pants off.
I didn't. Andy was the one asking them to go strip down naked so that we can take their photos.
Oh, man. This is not good. We're going to get a bad reputation.
We already have a bad reputation, Fred.
Is that right?
We do.
We do need a little bit of an image rehab.
Now, who's giving us this bad? What's the reputation that's out there? Yeah. What? You're pointing at Andy.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
He's a bad seed.
Well, people don't like the way Andy holds his recorder in the locker
room. That's the other thing. You can have that recorder I gave you today, but you can't hold it arrogantly.
I'll try not to.
It's very arrogant.
It all started with that, to be honest with you, Fred. When people started seeing the way he holds the recorder, it all went downhill from there. It really wasn't anything Andy ever said or did. It was that. And then people just kind of...
People are judgmental.
You know, they're very judgmental on that.
Oh, somebody else said that watched the TV show that you should change your name to Andy Part because of where you part your hair.
Was that someone else, you? Because it was a lame joke.
No, it wasn't me.
And you're the king of those.
Oh, somebody's at the door.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Tara, pizza with a smile Bertrand. It's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. Paul, save some for everyone else. Jeez.
This one's for Eric, courtesy of Two Gender. It's pick collector. That's pick collector. And it's a man who pretends to be a woman in order to get pics from other straight men who post personal ads. A little confusing. Took me 3 readings to get. It means you're...
I do the guy a favor, and this is the thanks I get.
Yeah.
His story would be photoless.
Right.
Imageless if it weren't for me.
Do we still have a listener hanging on the line?
Oh, Matt from Connecticut.
Oh, brother.
Matt, how you doing?
I'm still in pain from that game.
Oh, I know.
No, I thought you meant from
the show.
It
was just from waiting 45 minutes for Fred to take your call.
Oh, that too. Oh, by the way, when you were talking about Larry Izzo and Tom Brady, were you describing Eric Dream from last night? Or?
See what he did there?
Well done. Are you in school, Matt?
Yeah, I'm in school.
Because he'll fight you.
I think you should stay there. You got a lot to learn, my friend.
Oh, wow. My friend.
My friend.
It's like John McCain.
My friend.
Matt, are you a UConn guy or the Siena guy?
I'm Siena.
Oh, okay.
Siena, we're going to the tournament again.
Yes, we are. We're actually going to win the whole championship this year.
Oh! Speaking of dreams. Anyway, what do you got? Why are you so distraught over the loss?
It was just painful, painful. But there's one thing I want to get off my chest. Like, right after the game, if you, like, watched basically any news thing, it was the big headline was, is this a power shift in the AFC East? And basically everybody said yes. And I think it's ridiculous, like, until, like, Tom Brady's off our team and Bill Belichick's no longer our coach, I don't think there's a power shift. Because what if we win this week and the Jets lose? There's a power shift.
There would be
like
a power shift.
So it's kind of ridiculous. When I think of a power
Very
shift,
ridiculous.
Right.
I think
no,
like
I agree
a
with,
long term.
Yeah, right. I agree with you. It's Brady to me. You know, if this was happening with Brady, I would say that Thursday was a power shift.
Even without Brady, you win the division for, 6 straight years, and then a team beats you in overtime, and it's a power shift?
Well that's
I think
thing.
It,
that's
if Brady, if Brady was here,
was it a power shift when they won in 2006 when Mangini had the upset? I mean, no, it's a game.
No, but they weren't in first
you're
place.
You're in a dogfight.
Jets are barely in first place. It has
place.
To be sustained for a power shift.
If the Jets lose to the Titans and the Patriots beat Miami, is there another power shift?
Yeah, it's what the media
does.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
I think it's different with
Everybody
because
has
Brady's
to jump
out.
To conclusions.
I think it's ridiculous because Brady's out. There's no power shift.
I think
the Patriots
it's
are the class
regardless.
Of the Patriots are the class of this division until someone beats them with Brady.
If you're going to say that there's a power shift now, it's a prediction because you don't know
right,
yet.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Oh, and we all know from talking to WEEI, Fred, we can't do that because
you just don't know.
We don't know. It's only 10 weeks. A lot of things can happen.
Plus, the other problem with that is in a true power shift, which in my mind is a long-term thing, not a week-to-week or even
– Right.
I mean, they're doing this with Brett Favre. If they were doing this with Kellen
Clemens. It doesn't matter.
Well, to me it does because if Brett Favre retires at the end of the season, then your power shift just went down the toilet because you're now back where you started and you're rebuilding your team.
Okay, well, you know, that's fair.
I definitely agree that there's been no power shift in the AFC East. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the season's not over. The Patriots could still win this.
But I don't care if the Patriots lose out. There's been no power shift in the AFC East. There just hasn't been. I mean, Brady's hurt. You can't deny that.
seemed like they had the headline ready before they even watched the game.
They probably had it ready at halftime, the way the game was going as well. And then all of a sudden it got tight. And I think that's another element. I think if the Jets ended up, you know, winning 34-13, I think we would have a claim to,
right?
You know, but the way the game unfolded, you know, they escaped with the win.
The media gets stuck on one angle of a story, and they have a hard time letting go of it.
Like,
this
week it's all about the Wildcat. There are 8 million questions
about
the Wildcat.
The Brady-less Patriots split with the Jets in the season. You know, logic would say with Brady they'd win both.
I agree.
You know, so.
Totally agree with you, Fred. There's no doubt in my mind that the Patriots would have won both.
So, anything else, Matt?
No, you guys actually made me late for class again, so I
got. What are you doing in Loudonville anyway? Come on.
What's wrong with Loudonville? Nice little town.
Nice little town.
It's the West Welker of towns.
Yep.
See you, Matt.
Have a good one, Matt.
All right. We should have little permission slips that we give to our listeners that are in
college.
Sure,
that would carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, Professor. I was listening.
Fred
to
said I could be late.
Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Hey, guys. Hey, Eric. Hope things are going well. I'm really anticipating this Sunday's game, not just because I'm praying that they will shut Joey Porter the F up, but because I think that both teams see this as a must-win game, so I think everything would be pulled out of the bag. I honestly think that if the Patriots lose this game, their chances of making the playoffs decrease exponentially. I know this may seem like an overstatement, but they have to tackle well. Merriweather has to stop bouncing off people. Having said that, I will now get to my main question. More and more lately, I hear talk of franchising Matt Castle and then trying to get something for him via a trade. Do you guys, and you, Eric, think that Castle has already done enough this season to warrant this, or does he have to produce at this level for the remainder of the season to make this option feasible? If we could actually get something for him, I would think this is preferable to just letting him go. What do you think?
That is preferable.
I would rather get something for him than just have him run off.
To me, it doesn't really have much to do with what he does the rest of the way, unless he would really fall apart. To me, you have a starting quarterback. He's not going to be your starting quarterback, and I think it's a dangerous game to play to franchise a guy knowing that you don't want him on your team for that amount of money. It was one thing when you did it with Tabucky Jones for $3 million. It's another thing when you're doing it with a quarterback. It's going to be, eight figures in any regard.
Is it collusion if you talk to other teams? How does that work? What's legal and what's
not?
Well,
once you franchise him, then you can talk to anybody.
What if you do it
before
you franchise?
Or if you're in the owner's box over a cup of coffee or something?
Or like,
I don't think that's collusion.
The first day of the – I know in the past, like the second or third day of the combine sometimes has been the franchise day. Say the first day of the combine, you run into –
Yeah, but why would that be – I don't think that would be collusion because those guys are going to be – I mean, the other team can't talk to the player
until he's actually available, right? Runs across –
They want to do a sign-and-trade thing.
Somebody from Detroit and says, hey, would you give us a second and a third for Castle? We'll franchise him and trade him to you. You can make that agreement before you even franchise him?
I suppose.
I have.
But I think it would take longer because generally they show some time where the guy is franchised and it's like a couple of months later that the guy gets traded.
No, I know. I'm just saying, could you do it so you'd – and it would have to be somebody you had a pretty good relationship with,
Jerry
a trust
Angelo.
Level. Sure, Jerry Angelo.
Jerry Angelo saying, you know what? I'll give you my whole draft for Matt Castle. He's done less.
Is there anything illegal about doing that, Fred? Anyone?
I don't know. We were talking about this yesterday about trading and franchising.
Well, you can do it, but when can you do it is right. Andy's plan.
I have a
before
hard time.
Before franchising him, before the end of the league year, before the trading deadline has already passed.
Peter King contends that, I don't know if it's the rule or it's unethical or against the spirit of the rule, but you can't use franchise for the explicit purpose of trading a guy.
I just don't see how you can do business in this day and age without doing stuff like that. I mean, you need to kind of.
Well, everyone says that
gauge.
the spirit of franchising a player has been gone a long time ago.
Right.
The whole spirit of that has, and they're looking to get rid of that, the Players Association.
But if you're trying to do what you think is in the best interest of your team, and you happen to run across a guy, like Andy said, maybe at the combine or at a playoff game or something, and you start talking. You're trying to do business for your team. I have no problem with any of that stuff that goes on.
I don't either. I'm just wondering if, like, the NFLPA or the league.
I have a feeling that there's something that I'm not sure about it, but I don't know if it's exactly what it was.
If you're openly talking about the possibility of making a trade, I don't see why that's illegal.
I don't see where that's
tampering. Now, if one team is talking to a member of another team, a player from another organization, I can see where that's tampering. I, like Eric, don't have a huge problem with tampering, but the NFL does. So that's a rule. But I don't see where the problem would be if Bill were to go to four or five of the guys that he knows best and says, listen,
sure,
Castle's, you know, it's no secret, Castle's going to be a free agent.
Right.
We're probably going to franchise him, but, you know, what do you give us for him?
Mm-hmm. I don't see Parcells.
Where could be the
rubbing elbows?
I don't really see it.
Will you give me a second and a third and okay, and we'll get this done?
But in terms of the whole you can't do it, Fred, it's ridiculously hard to prove that you had no, you know, that it was done in bad faith. You know, it wasn't done in good faith.
Yeah.
And the NFLPA can do nothing about it. The player would have to grieve the action and file a grievance through the NFLPA against the team. And I don't think it's really logical for him to do so with the amount of money that he's going to be getting. You know, it's good for the player, too.
Dan Tugender reminds me that I need to give out the time for people to call tomorrow for the Qdoba question of the week day. And it's going to be 1:02.
Oh.
1:02 p.m. tomorrow. Call in.
During a break.
We'll ask you a question about something that's happened either today or yesterday. And if you get the correct answer, you will win a Qdoba buffet for 20 people, burritos and tacos.
Now, Dan, you were always the official question reader before your promotion. How is this going to be handled now?
I think Eric will do it from now on.
Oh.
All right.
Can we step off for that?
Sure.
Eric doesn't like that.
I mean, well, there's just one little caveat to that. I might
be
at practice. I might be at practice or coming back from practice at 1:02.
So one of us will have
to. So one of you guys will have to step up.
Speaking of practice.
How was practice?
Practice was again inside. It's scheduled to be inside all week.
They had downers on.
Speaking of Obama. Yeah, shells today. Good news.
Now, if I ask you in 5 minutes, are they still going to have shells on?
No, they're still going to have shells in 5 minutes.
Okay. Do they have helmets on?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And pants?
Yes, Dan.
Oh,
for God's sake. Good news. Richard Seymour was back on the field.
Ty Warren
was still on the field. Adalys Thomas, however, was still not. And there were still four guys missing, but taking Seymour's place on that list was Jonathan Wilhite, who was not out there today. Lamont Jordan, who was in the locker room sleeping again, was not out on the field.
I'll take that swap.
Eric Alexander, and that's it. Those are the four missing guys today. But they were in shells inside, prepping for the warm weather.
Okay.
And then after they stretched, we got kicked out. So I came back here.
Exciting.
As always.
Very good.
Did you pick up on any other little tidbits while you were out there?
There weren't many to be had. Sorry, what are you laughing at over there?
Some stupid ESPN commercials crack me up.
Oh, the NBA promos?
The NBA promos where they come off the big bus.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Jackson comes out from the back. Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy are just sitting there having their coffee. Mark Jackson walks out with a bathrobe on, but he has his old Knicks uniform underneath.
Oh,
and he's about 30 pounds overweight. Short shorts on.
Dan in Fairfax, we were talking about ties earlier in the show, and he thinks that in the regular season... No. In the regular season, he thinks, I would rather see no overtime at all. Any game that ends in regulation is a tie. In the postseason, add a fifth quarter, not sudden death. No, I like
overtime.
I do too.
I don't think you want to have ties. A lot of games go to overtime during the course of a year, but not very many end up in a tie.
Yeah.
Happens once every few years.
More importantly, Fred, we have some people that are questioning the tie in the Patriots Football Weekly Picks contest.
Oh, yeah.
Someone says that we are picking winners, and therefore we all deserve a loss because we did not pick the winner.
What?
What do you think of that?
Well, wait, what?
We pick winners. Spread.
Right. So, like, I gave everybody a tie for the Philadelphia-Cincinnati game.
And one of the people involved is saying that it's neither a win nor a loss, so it should be a loss.
No, it should be nothing then.
But he's saying we pick winners.
He's saying we pick the winners.
We lost. We didn't
lost
pick the winner. We got it wrong.
Pick the winner.
Oh, boy. I think...
He's an annoying person who travels with us, just so you know, and plays cards.
Okay, well, then that answers my question.
Let's get him out of the picks contest.
Let's move on. Do you guys hear about this? It was an interesting article in the Herald today about Brock Lesnar and having wrestled Stephen Neal in college.
Oh.
And yeah. Lesnar was this up-and-coming kid transfer, and Neal was the reigning national champ, and, you know, Neal beat him. But Lesnar was obviously this amazing, you know, athlete. And I guess he just won a mixed martial arts thing against some big guy.
Couture.
Randy Couture. Did you guys hear about that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
We talked to John about the story yesterday.
The Couture thing is the only new part. I mean, we knew Lesnar and Neal had wrestled.
Well, why didn't you ever write an article about that?
We have.
We did.
You did?
Why didn't you read it?
Yeah, we have.
Oh, okay.
The new part was the MMA thing.
Right, because Lesnar has now, for a while he was in WWF, now he's jumped over to UFC after he did the Vikings thing. He's now the champion. It's been talked about many times. There's also the angle that Stephen Neal pinned Ricky Williams in high school. Have you heard that story before?
No.
So should we write that every single time we play the Dolphins?
You know, I'm really
Stephen Neal gets to go against his high school counterpart.
I'm really disappointed in you, Fred, because Stephen Neal is kind of like your guy.
No, but here's what you do. You say, you know, there was an article recently in the Herald, but did, you know, Brock Lesnar, but did you know that Stephen Neal? It's a note.
I actually told Tomasi about it yesterday when he was writing the story.
Oh, so there you go. Now we lost it. Why do you give up
this
stuff?
We didn't lose it. It's been written a million times. It's been in the media guide since he's been in the National Football League.
Ricky Williams?
Yes.
Got it, yeah.
That's why I'm disappointed in you. Stephen Neal's your guy.
Yes.
And I thought the most interesting part of that story today was that Neal said, maybe if I have any when I'm done, nah, I'm not going to be able to do it. Like, he almost considered UFC for like 10 seconds in his head. Because that would, I think that would be cool for us. Just
because we know him.
We know him to like turn on UFC 172 and Stephen Neal.
He seems too mild mannered for UFC.
He does.
Yes.
Now, I would probably still not watch.
Does he know any other martial arts, though? It's mixed martial arts. He's a wrestler.
But that right there gets your foot in the door. And I mean, that's the one part where Mike's right. You don't need to know 17 different things. If you're good at any of them, you can compete in there. And he's a tough guy. And, Fred, have you ever seen him kill people on the football field? I think he has a streak that allows him to physically impose his will on others. He generally smirks afterwards. He's a nice man.
With that shoulder injury, though,
that's probably what he thought, too.
Yeah. He probably was like, you know what? No.
A good opponent would know that and just target that shoulder every time he got in the octagon.
Stephen from Oregon is on the line. Stephen, how you
like
doing?
An expert over here.
Fred, how are you today?
Good.
Good. I thought I heard Eric's voice there. He's there, I hear.
Eric's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's participating today?
He has decided to participate.
We have new parameters for how we operate the ship here, and I have to go to practice every day, so I'm late to the show.
You want to eat my salad?
Part of the job.
Look at this.
You're stuck with practice every day this week, or just from now on?
From now on.
Now through the end of the year.
Oh, okay. Well, I like the everybody had to run out in the middle there and do practice. I thought that
so
was
did I.
Fun.
Not everybody.
Well, yeah, some people went when they chose. Some of the fatter people here didn't go.
Wow.
Okay, well, I'm calling about the game last Thursday that I didn't get to see all of it because it was my date day, but I did get to catch
Whoa. That's not sliding through.
Hey, you don't
throw something like that out there and not expect it to be addressed.
Date day?
He purposely threw it out there to get addressed.
Yes. Hey, wait. She let me watch most of the game. I got all
She let you? Out,
so. Wait, he's married, obviously, right? You're married, right?
Yes, I'm married.
Well, so cut him some slack. He's got a
what?
Date night.
Now, yeah, where does she keep your nuts? Now, are they in a cabinet, a drawer, a safe deposit box?
Wherever she wants to. Depends on her moods.
Wow.
Wow.
I know where I'd like them, but they're not always there.
Oh!
Well played.
Another great moment.
Oh, anyway.
You know, see now.
If there's any hope for the defense, for God's sakes, come on. 3rd and 15, and you let that go. You had the game in the bag and the momentum. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, if they had covered Dustin Keller, that would have been a punt situation right there, and Patriots probably would have taken the ball.
I think it's by Eric.
That's the expert analysis you get from Eric Scalabino.
I see. Hey, but do you think it's going to hurt us now? I
mean, tick, tick, tick.
Jeff got Ty Law and stuff.
Well, the question
is there anybody left out there in the world that we could get, you know, off the street? I don't know.
Well, there's bodies. They're the ones we've talked about, Colvin, Hobson, or Seau. But I think the bigger question is, do you feel like Guyton, Woods, Mayo, Merriweather are going to get better with more playing time as the year goes on or not?
I think that they'll get better. I mean, it just frustrates me to see Castle play so well, make that roll out, throw that pass to Moss. It just all goes for waste. It feels like, you know, the game against the Colts in the playoffs, the Giants game, and, you know, now a game like this, and, you know, they're losing the close games now when they used to win them all.
Yep.
So it's driving me crazy.
Yep. There's not much you can say about it. There's no doubt about it.
But, I mean, I think you can say that you think they're going to get better, the young guys, and that maybe they won't allow that play on 3rd and 15. I mean, it's different. If they allowed that same play with Rodney Harrison, Teddy Bruschi, and Junior Seau getting
right,
to Dustin
be
Teller
less
late,
hope.
You'd say, well, they're getting older and worse.
Right.
That's the point I made yesterday. And I don't know, to answer your original question, I'm not sure that there's hope for to get much better this year. But I think overall what Bill is doing is the right thing. And I think that they're going to be a much better team in the long haul because – all of these young guys that are playing significant roles now, even if half of them turn out to be solid players, they're going to be in a better situation than the one that Andy just unfolded with allowing plays with Bruschi and Harrison and the other older guys that have been around over the last 3 or 4 years. I think in 2010, hopefully in 2009, we're looking at the defense being dramatically improved.
I agree with that, Paul. One thing that we talk about in the press box all the time during games that really troubles me is the really poor tackling technique that a lot of these players show almost every game.
That's an epidemic. Yeah,
it is, and it's you're at the professional level. Tackling 101 should not need to be taught, and a lot of times it looks like it does need to be revisited with the way some of these attempts are made, and that's really frustrating.
It's not just football. It's a lot of sports. Fundamentals get lost along the way.
Sure, but
as guys are sort of passed through the system because of their, great talent.
It just amazes me that it's allowed to slip. And something so fundamentally important in football is making a tackle on defense, and some guys still don't do it.
Injuries
and know how
I just can't imagine you get much time to physically practice it.
Oh, you can't.
Because injuries are just too big.
Yeah, and you can't. A, you don't have enough time. And B, you can't beat up on the guys during the week doing actual tackling. And the only way to do tackling is to tackle.
I know. It just boggles my mind that
that's another Andyism.
The instinct for some of these guys is to just throw their body or their shoulder into it instead of the instinct being just throw your arms around the guy's legs
because
and you can't go anywhere.
They got by at the previous levels by doing what they did, and now they can't get by anymore, and they're getting run over.
You know what Merriweather in particular is guilty of all the time? Drops his head. You watch some of the pitches that we had in the PFW. His head is straight down.
He's not a good tackler.
Terrible, terrible technique. He's going to get hurt doing that, too.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think there's hope, and I mean, kind of like the 2002 season, we kind of got to just kind of wait it out, and, I'd like to make the playoffs and see what we can do. I mean, I think Matt Castle's mobility is bringing a different dimension to the offense. I think it's been very helpful, actually.
It's been critical.
It's been huge.
Yeah. All right, Steve from Oregon.
Hey, thanks, guys.
See you, Steve.
Thanks,
Steve. From Oregon. And Matt from Oregon.
Have fun on date night.
Go find your nuts.
Matt from Oregon says, hey, fellas, just wanted to say good luck to Mike and Gary. What a bummer. And what's worse now, I won't get the chance to tap out Mike and turn him into a UFC fan. Anyway, I hope those guys can find some work because they were both really good at their jobs. As far as the Pats, I must say that I enjoyed the hell out of watching Castle play last Thursday. Just too bad I couldn't have enjoyed the hell out of watching the Pats pull out a victory. But seriously, Castle is definitely not the meek little backup just trying not to blow the game. He was fired up and playing like an animal. It's that kind of stuff that keeps my hopes up for the season. I would love to see the Pats win out and do something great in the playoffs, and I'm still holding out hope for another Super Bowl. But even if that stuff doesn't happen, I'll continue to be a fan and to enjoy the good times like watching Castle and Moss hook up for that great touchdown. So that's Matt Cox. Why wouldn't anyone not be a fan after the season? Can you imagine that?
Yes. I know a lot of Fairweather fans.
When things
start to go bad, they jump ship quickly.
I think that's terrible.
I do, too. I know a lot of people like that, though.
Really? You
no,
hang
I mean,
around with a lot of people
no,
like that?
No, not personally. But I mean,
birds of a feather?
You hear it all the time. You go to any sports bar, and you hear people in the middle of a game, they're Fairweather fans.
Right.
A couple of bad drives. Oh, get that bum out of there.
Well,
it's moronic.
I hear a lot of that. Oh, he stinks. Get him out of there. And we've seen it firsthand with all the SPFWs. But what I haven't seen as much of is what you're talking about, Fred. If I'm a Patriots fan, and I was a Patriots fan heading into the season, and let's just say the worst possible, with the 6-4, let's just say the worst possible thing happens, they go 6-10.
Whoa.
Okay? I don't know anybody that would say, I'm not rooting for the Patriots next year.
Right. But are
I'm a Patriots fan.
Eric says he knows them.
I'm a Patriots fan. If you really are a fan of the team, then you're going to be waiting for 2009 to start it back up again.
Yeah.
Fred, go. I mean, Eric, go call him. Get him on the line. I want to talk to these people.
I just. But I have heard a lot of people, in terms of what Eric said specifically. Oh, he's a bum. Get him out of there. You hear that all the time. You hear that with Brady.
Well, I was going to say.
Anybody who does that, you are worse than even the worst Bengals fan, because at least they're still a fan.
I just remember the lean times, Fred, in the late 80s, early 90s, when the team wasn't winning.
Right.
And my dad and I, April, whatever it was, when tickets went on sale, we'd come here to the old Foxborough Stadium, go right up to the ticket window. We'd be the first, second, or third people in line, pick out whatever seats we wanted to sit in. Because nobody wanted to go to the games when they were losing.
Oh, that will happen. If they lose...
That's what I'm talking about.
If they lose for an extended period of time...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
people
about.
People won't come. I'm just talking about the interest in the team. Like, I would still think that I might not come here every week, but I'll still be watching on TV and hoping that they win games and all that. That's what I think that doesn't happen as much as some other people do. But no question, the general interest... would drop for any team. Look at the Celtics.
Yeah.
You can't get a Celtics ticket now. For 20 years, you could walk up and do whatever you wanted for a Celtics game. You could sit any game anywhere you wanted.
Well, was that the case at Lambeau in those years when the Packers were not winning?
No, I think
they've had a sellout streak for a long time.
So
all they have.
There are fan bases that don't give up on their teams when
they're losing. We have alternatives. We have other things to do with our time.
You making excuses, Fred?
No, I'm just saying that's the way it is around here in New England. I mean, there's other things to
do.
New Englanders are not up for shelling out money for an inferior product.
And that's especially nowadays.
Yeah.
How can you substantiate it?
It's all value for your dollar.
If I'm sitting there and in my heart of hearts, I don't think that they're going to be a very good team and they have a very good chance to win. It's kind of hard to make that $300 commitment every week.
Yeah.
You think there's something geographic about it? Honestly, do you really think like where people live in the country dictates how they react to those kinds of things?
You brought up Green Bay. I mean, the Green Bay Packers have been there since 1920 or something. It is a tradition, and there aren't any other pro sports or, you know, entertainment to that level. You know, so they do have a tendency to stick with it longer and through tougher times than people in New York or Philly or Boston, where there's a lot of other things to occupy yourself with.
But, like, the Northeast in general is considered to be a very hectic, impatient kind of area.
That's a good word, impatient.
But, like, the Giants had terrible teams.
And they stuck
in the 70s,
them.
And they kept going. I mean, more power to them. For me, that's not – I don't really think that that's what I would want to do. I wouldn't want to sit there every week and get season tickets to a team that wasn't very good and had no hope for being very good. Now, that's not the case with the Patriots, obviously. We're a long way away from that. But in the 90s, I wouldn't have been lining up in 1990 to get season tickets for the Patriots, knowing they were going to go 1-15 or somewhere in that area. No way. They had no hope going into that season.
We had four season tickets and five guys splitting it because we couldn't afford it. So every week you'd have to alternate. One guy couldn't
one
go.
Guy would, yeah.
By the end, we were like arguing. It's my turn not to go.
I know it's depressing when your team loses, but as a fan of the sport, if I had the money back then when they were losing, I would have probably tried to get season tickets because I liked the NFL experience. I liked coming to games. I liked watching whatever opponent was good at. Like, the Bills were great during that time.
Right.
I mean, to see Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Bruce Smith, all those guys, Daryl Talley, those guys on defense. I mean, to see the other team, you're not just going to see your team.
No, I understand. And I think there are
a good point.
There's a lot of people in every NFL town that are like that. Like, they just like the experience.
Right. Yeah, I was never
one of
those.
I don't think there's enough.
There's certainly
around
not
here
enough
to support selling out every game.
I was never one of those. I couldn't. I mean, I go when I have a vested interest in the team. I have to be wrapped up in the team. But there's a lot of people that are like that. I wanted to see the game. I wanted to enjoy the competition of the game. I couldn't really get into that.
I mean, sure, I'd root for the team, even though I knew their chances at the time weren't very good. But I still was just going to see a football game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I watched. I mean, I would watch those games, and I remember the Hugh Millen games. You know,
oh yeah.
Remember how exciting every one of those?
Yeah.
They weren't a very good team. They went
the
6-10
teams.
They went
the first
McPherson team, the one that they went. They went 6-10
that's
that
right
year.
Yep.
I think it was 91. Every game went down to the last drive.
Yeah. Yep.
Some of them they won in incredible fashion, and some of them they lost in incredible fashion. Remember Millen, the game here at the old Foxborough Stadium, they lost to Denver 9-6.
Yeah.
And they had the ball inside the 20 with like 15 seconds left, and he scrambles and tries to run for a touchdown and get tackled. They had no timeouts, and the game ended.
He couldn't spike the ball. And,
that's right.
You know?
He ended up going down on his knees. It was like pathetic.
So there was games like that. Now, I would sit there, you know, at the time I was working at the Herald, and we'd be like, you know, I was really wrapped up into the game. I'd be listening on the radio and stuff because back then,
money on it.
Back then they were blacked out. The games were blacked out, Fred. But even
notice
though
he didn't deny it, he wouldn't let that keep
Fred.
Let that go.
You, you're such a card. Speaking of cards, I might have had one or two going.
Oh yeah.
I was really into the games. I just would never have, you know, invested a lot of money into going until I thought they were very good, which when Parcells came, I had an idea that they were going to get good. That's when I got interested.
Joe in Roslindale, it's been a while. Joe. Hope things are well. On McNabb's not knowing the tie rule, I have to call it BS. Even if he didn't remember the rule in the heat of the moment on Sunday, he had to have at least once realized the NFL had ties. In 2002, the Eagles beat the 9-6-1 Falcons in the NFC Divisional Playoffs. I assume that at some point in preparing for that game, he had to have realized that the Falcons had a tie on their record.
What's that hyphen one for?
That's a good point.
As I said, maybe he didn't remember the rule, but he had to have known it existed once upon a time. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's see.
That's how the Falcons got in the playoffs that year. They made it by a half a game.
One person wants us to talk more about Dave Thomas. On the subject of tight ends, what's his status? He's available. He's out there. Just not getting a lot of.
He's played every game.
Plays called his way.
I was kind of surprised in the Jet game when they were throwing so much to Watson. I think I said it to one of you guys. Where's Dave Thomas?
I think you did.
I mean, he's known more as the pass catching tight end, especially with you know what we've seen over the years from Watson. And he wasn't really on the field.
I wonder if he got hurt because not only that, you guys made that comment. You and Andy were talking about that, Eric. And then they elevated Tyson DeVry from the practice squad to the active roster.
And I believe he was in the locker room with something on one of his legs today.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Who,
didn't
Thomas?
He had one of those. He had the Wes Welker sock on, I thought. Pretty sure he had the black sock on. That Welker.
I think he
might.
I think, yeah, I think you're right. Because
another player did.
He changed shoes, and I think when he did that, I think you're right.
But he might have had a minor tweakage.
But he's been at practice every day, and he's been, you know. He hasn't shown any noticeable.
Never has yet to establish himself as any sort of a consistent target, weapon, whatever you want to call it.
That seems to be the
MO of the position.
Yeah.
Beyond that game at Jacksonville a couple of years ago.
Oh, that was a good game.
Yeah, he had a good game. I mean,
last week Eric's right. They 8 for 88 for Ben Watson. Why couldn't Thomas get 4 for 44.
Absolutely valid point. I don't know why it had to be broken down exactly in half. But
Chris with a TIAN writes in, Eric at 1:40 p.m., and I quote, throw your arms around the guy's legs and he can't go anywhere.
Oh, see now. Christian, I've always called you by your full name, and this is how you repay me.
Christian also says, hey, I agree that Reed and McNabb are getting way too much heat for their comments. I think the media is piling on, and it's just another log on the fire to get rid of both of them. The fans and media have had it with them. As for Watson, that ship has sailed. Freak, physical specimen with little football skill. He is a Jag, says Christian. Wow.
That seems to be the general consensus now among Patriot Nation. It kind of peaked like 2 years ago when Peter King had him in the Pro Bowl, coming off that 1 year that he was the only receiver. Was that
06? Yeah, 06. 06. And he had a great preseason that year,
too. It's gone dramatically downhill since.
Kamani wants to know how Eric survived the layoffs. So, I don't know.
You do know, Fred.
Well, actually, you do.
That's like Bill.
Todd Porter wants to know how B-Lo and Chris made it through the cuts. Everyone is weighing in.
B-Lo's in a different department, so we can't really speak for them.
Everybody's having a lot of fun at the expense of our anxiety.
Yeah, that's
Barrera sucks. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, by the way,
we spent all day Friday barricaded in my office saying they'll never get us all.
We like to joke on this show, but I think that's one topic we should probably not joke about.
Absolutely.
I mean, for the fans who are listening out there.
Right. It's
enough with that.
Right.
Please.
Because who knows what could happen, right?
Well,
who knows what could happen?
Who are you to dictate programming?
Back with a joke.
I know what you're saying, Eric.
Jeez, Fred. Thanks for the support.
We have sufficiently covered that.
Yeah. All right. Before you got here, we mourned a little bit.
Well,
more.
I know, but...
We mourned. Eric writes in, one request, no more Qdoba or Toyota Tundra commercials. Notwithstanding the economy, there must be another sponsor at your doorstep. My question concerns the defense, which has been such a huge disappointment this year, except Mayo. Belichick has been dubbed a defensive genius. I'm not so sure that's because he once had Lawrence Taylor or because he really is a defensive guru. Maybe like calling Josh McDaniels an offensive genius because he had Brady. For the past 4 years at least, the D has quite frankly sucked, and it baffles me that Belichick hasn't done more to shore things up, and it ain't injuries. Why does he get a pass from the media, including you guys, on the defensive woes? He was labeled defensive genius, and that label needs to be seriously and more objectively re-examined. Thanks, Eric. No relation to the talentless Eric Scalavino.
No, it's a different talentless Eric. Is that sort of a shot?
That was a shot at me, yeah.
I think he is trying. Collateral
damage. You tried. I give you the effort.
I think he's had enough great defenses that didn't have Lawrence Taylor as a member to kind of lend credence that he's a pretty good defensive coach.
Yeah, does anyone remember that 2001 Super Bowl?
He led the league in points, fewest points allowed with one of his teams in Cleveland. He was in the top three in that category three times in New England.
And, you know, he got that from when he was a coordinator. And he did
I'm talking
good
about
things.
As a head coach.
No, I know, but he did some pretty good things.
You know, with
as
a coordinator,
he
had Lawrence Taylor.
Sure, Super
that's
Bowl 25.
Point. Do you remember some of the stuff he's
but
done
he was
with
also
terrible
coordinator for the,
backs?
The Patriots. That one year he 96? Comes back. No?
Marginal defense, I would say, on that team. But
I mean, guys like Lawyer Malloy and Ty Law said, you know, this guy's a genius.
Well,
and,
but just
know.
Look at the results.
Steve Nelson used to call Rod Rush the genius, too.
The results speak for themselves. Some of the stuff he's done to go through injuries, to go through personnel, to go through different teams,
that's
consistently in
it.
Different areas. I mean, he's done enough that he can stand. Shot there, I think, at McDaniels, I would say, in a shorter span, has done enough with Tom Brady a couple times, with receivers, without receivers, and now without Tom Brady, his offense is doing stuff. So I think... He's a boy genius. We throw that around as kind of a shot, but he's
like
a boy
to call
genius.
I him Jimmy Neutron.
Well, he is. He's in a shorter span. He's gotten it done.
And I mean, look at what he's done this year.
Look, this guy that just wrote in, who was that?
Eric.
Eric. I'll bet you if he's starting a team tomorrow, this coach is going to be Bill Belichick if he could choose.
Idiot!
I don't think he'll have a chance to start a team tomorrow.
But you know what I'm saying. All these people criticizing that, they'd take him in a heartbeat.
Fred, quick quiz for you. Where did the Patriots end up last year overall in rushing offense?
I don't know. Rushing offense?
Mm.
In rushing? Terms of yards?
Overall. Overall stats.
Now, you mean with the ball and they're on the ground and they're right.
And the legs
forward.
Are moving.
Tenth.
Yes.
That's a
tenth.
Great question.
You're close. They were 13th, but it was a lot higher than I thought until I went and looked back at the numbers, because Josh McDaniels said the other day in his press conference, he was saying, you know, we sort of posited that, you know, last year was more of a passing offense and this year it's a little bit more balanced. And he's like, well, you know what? Last year, he's like, we were like 10th or 11th. He couldn't remember exactly, but he was like, you know, we were pretty good last year at running the ball. Yeah. Considering that
they weren't.
Considering that
13.
We took a few games.
I know, but.
Well, that's the top half of the league. That's not.
No, it is.
That's better than I thought.
Fairly. For the best offense in football, they were middle of the pack and running. So the theory that they were a passing team last year is accurate. They were.
It is, but my point was that they were better at it than I thought.
Well, but
because
were they better at it? Because teams were just so spread out,
right?
You know, that it opened up lanes for running. I mean, you can't have a quarterback who throws for 50 touchdowns and be balanced.
They were 60-40.
You just can't be. You know, yeah.
And pass to run, basically. I think it was
a fun fact.
It was just supposed to be a fun fact.
But even that 40, Paul, came at the end a lot when the game was out of hand.
They were just dominant.
I mean, how many drives did they just start out and was all pass?
A lot.
I mean,
almost everyone.
Pass.
How about
yeah.
the first half against Philadelphia?
Right.
31 straight passes.
And then you get
like
a 14-21 point lead, and then you get some runs, and that balances it out in the stats. But again, it's the eye test. We know what they were last year. They were a passing team.
I have a question for you guys.
Sounded like Ron Jaworski.
It might
just
be.
Then.
It might be a little.
They were
late.
A passing team.
They were a passing team.
It might be a little late to bring this up, so maybe we can carry it over to tomorrow. But
5 minutes.
what
this is a major topic?
What are you doing with the microphone? What's going
we
on?
We can't
in there?
Hear you.
He's not talking to us.
Oh. Yeah.
I wasn't talking to you.
Whoa!
Wasn't talking to you.
A little bit of an attitude there.
Well, wow. He's under fire. I mean, he doesn't deal well with pressure. Look at him.
No question. We'll bring up that topic tomorrow because I don't want to get him all. John in Rhode Island is waiting to talk to
I
you.
Know. He's waving and I'm ignoring him.
Just to see.
John, how you doing?
He was talking to me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so so you know.
How you doing, John?
Excellent. What's happening today?
We're just talking about, let's see, the Miami
Nothing
Dolphins.
Nothing cerebral about it, my friend.
And Donovan McNabb not knowing that you could have a game that ends in a tie.
I find that actually quite incredible, to be honest with you.
Well, one of our listeners made a point that he played a team, in 06?
In 02.
In 02 that had a tie playoffs. On their record.
They played the Falcons, who had tied that year. Before you get too incredulous, John, I talked to some people in the Patriots locker room today.
And they didn't know either?
A couple of them admitted they didn't know.
Some of them very key players.
One flat out said he didn't know, and another one said that he did know it could end in a tie in the regular season, but then asked me what you do in the playoffs.
All right, so what does this say then? Number one, about these players. Number two, should we be alarmed that they don't know some of the rules of the own game that they play?
I was dumbfounded when I heard that.
You know, it's interesting, having known a couple guys that play college football, how little they follow the sport when they're not, you know, playing in their own team. These are actually guys at Northeastern, Paul.
I'm not surprised by the losses they've racked up over the years.
When they weren't playing football, they weren't watching. They weren't following the NFL like we do. You know,
at the man club.
Yeah.
Kind of follow the – you know, the industry, don't we?
I know. It's still a shocking.
Yeah, I think that element to me has always been surprising, John, just what you hit on. I mean, we kind of know what's going on around the media. It's interesting to us. It might not be interesting to most people, but because we're in the business, it's interesting. But I don't know why athletes don't seem to have that same attitude.
I could see if they were, you know, asking about some arcane rule that dated back to the 1940s that
exactly.
hardly ever gets enforced. Right. But a tie...
Like
right.
to me,
a tie happens.
To me, the play in the Giants Eagles game a couple of weeks ago on the Sunday night, where Eli Manning was originally called for throwing the ball over the line of scrimmage, and then they went back and said the rule actually states the entire body has to be over the line of scrimmage for it
good
to be
one.
Illegal.
Good point, Paul.
That to me is something. Okay, I'll cut some guys slack if they don't know that rule.
Right.
Exactly.
I think that's a rule that most of us really weren't aware of, to be honest with you.
Right.
Now, the coaches should know the rules.
Yes.
But I could understand if Matt Cassel's on the sideline, he says to Bill, he was over the line of scrimmage on that play.
Right.
And then Bill turns to Matt and says, well, actually, Matt, his entire body has to be over the line. I could understand that happening.
But
to me, a tie game is
a basic.
And I know it's a little bit of hyperbole, but a tie game to me is like saying you didn't know that you had four downs to get a first down. I think it's an elementary rule of the game.
I agree with
that. Any 10-year-old should know.
Is it comparable to in baseball? The baseball player knowing we just keep playing until somebody wins in the bottom of the ninth.
Exactly. Yeah.
What does this also say though about the rule, the overtime rule in itself? Are you still of the opinion that it should be changed from what it presently is?
I like the whole thing of each team gets one possession and then it's sudden death. But that's the only way I would change it. That's the only way I would change it. I don't like timing it to a shorter period.
Here's what I think. Honestly, I think if you're going to change it from where it is now, I think each team should have one possession and, in effect, make it a sudden death. But if you're going to put the clock on it like they do, then just go ahead and play a fifth quarter, and whoever is left standing at the end of the fifth quarter wins.
That's not a bad idea.
And people have said that,
But, yeah. Well, Bill wants to shorten it to 10 and do that.
Yeah.
Just play a times quarter and just play a quarter and whoever wins.
I think that's actually a pretty good compromise. Yeah. Let's play a 10-minute extra period.
But remember,
you play the full 10 minutes.
A lot of this is network driven. Really, it is. It's a TV sport. And
you don't think the networks would go along with that, though, friend?
Not when you got 60 minutes waiting to be on.
You know what? But see, that's only for people that aren't on the West Coast anyway.
Yeah, I know. But an extra period is a minimum of 45 minutes. An extra 15 minutes.
If you played the whole 15, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Each period is 45 minutes.
Each period is about 45 minutes.
It is, Paul.
It wouldn't
take
that long.
It's close.
What are you talking about? It wouldn't take that long.
If you had to play the whole period, like
you
normally would.
If you have to play the period.
That would take about 45 minutes.
45 minutes.
What if you played with a 10-minute running clock?
I don't think it took that long Sunday.
Well, some
I think the game was over before 4:30 Sunday.
No, but the average period, average quarter is 45 minutes.
Yeah.
They've done it over years and years. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's right.
That's why I can't believe they can get games over in 3 hours if they're taking 45 minutes per quarter, but that's just me.
Right.
Oh.
It starts at 1 and ends by 4. That's 3 hours.
Yeah.
What about the 12-minute halftime?
12 minutes.
And all the commercials and stuff. Before and
it
after.
Averages out.
It averages out, yeah.
Well, most games don't end right at 3 hours.
Sure
it's 3:10, 3:05.
Look it up.
Oh, okay.
Well, just don't throw stuff out there.
I'm
look
not
it up,
throwing it out,
because
Paul.
I have.
I didn't make that up.
Most games are over in 3 hours.
Around 3 hours.
Isn't
some
that what
are
we
shorter,
were
some are longer.
So that's the point we're making.
Well, if
that's
if
why they
you're
started those afternoon kickoffs
at 4:15.
Minimum
3 hours and 12 minutes. Minimum. Not counting anything out of the ordinary. That's the minimum it could take, just by pure time, if you're saying 45 minutes.
I'm saying
per
the
quarter.
Average.
He was saying roughly.
The average
roughly
is 45 minutes.
Well, I don't think that's accurate. That's
what
all.
Do you think it is, 42?
Just less, that's all. Less than that.
Okay, 42. Okay, so the average is 42 minutes. You happy now?
All right, whatever. We can do
he
it.
He found something to argue with. That's good,
we,
though.
We can
I mean,
do it.
It took
we
him,
can
it
do
took
it the
2
way
hours,
you want.
But he found
we
something.
Can do it the way you want and just say, Paul's wrong. That's always
what
I'm looking for. So I will leave you. I will leave you with what you're looking for.
All right, John.
Have a good one, John.
We'll leave it to you.
All right, fellas.
See you later.